It's Friday!
Okay! Tokyo!
South America!
Australia!
France!
Germany!
UK!
Africa!
Here we go! Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this, the first day of July, 2022. June is gone. June is over. June left us in a hole, but July is here. We have transited now from the month named after, the month named after the Roman mother goddess to the month named after Gaius Julius Caesar. The god. Yeah. No small amount of irony in that either, really. Maybe it's not even irony. Maybe it's just the universe at work that our supreme, most puissant, dread sovereign Catholic majesties waited until the month named after Juno, the queen of the goddesses of ancient Rome, to strip American women of their most fundamental rights. And that now we go into a month which used to just be named, a number. I don't know if it was Sextilis or Quintilis. No, it was Quintilis. It was Quintilis. And they named it July Julius Caesar because that was the month in which we are told that he was born. And, of course, the legend is that he was the first Caesarian section. That's why we have the term. That's just sort of a starting place. Here we are, one week into our new fascist theocracy, and I'm not acclimating to it at all well. Really not. In fact, I think it kind of sucks. And I love the way some headlines get written. You know, of course, copy editing is dead. So I see a headline today over at Raw Story. The Supreme Court's nod to white Christian theocracy. Nod? Mother, what nod? This is a bow, a scrape, and a kowtow, followed by backing away from the throne. This is obsequious bow. Oh, sometimes headlines just piss me off. But I'm getting ahead of myself. A little happy news. I heard from an individual, and I don't know if they would like for me to make their name public or not, but Some baby formula is winging its way here, so that hopefully we won't have to go through the miserable business of trying to acclimate little Lily June, or Junie Lee, or Lily Lee, or I haven't settled on a nickname for her yet. I'm trying them all out. I talk to her. I lean over the crib and say, "Hi, Lily June. Hi, Lily Lee. Hi, Junie Lee." And I'm just waiting for her to look up at me and say, "Shut up, I'm trying to sleep." But thank you very kindly. You know who you are. That was so sweet. It just touched my heart today. And Well, thank you. And so, of course, every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. And this day is no different, this first day of July, 2022, which, by the way, would have been 61 years married for my parents. They were married July the 1st, 1961. And I wandered along a little over a year and a half later. So this day is always special for me. But thank you. Thank you to Rusty. And thank you so kindly to Tom and Sunny San Rafael. And thank you to Joseph. Thank you. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Mark. Thanks as well to our buddy Max. Max jumped in, as did Rusty. And consequently, the hole that we left June with, that was some $549 or something. Actually, we got it down. It's like closer to $400. So that's 1 1/3 broadcast days that we are in the hole from last month. And fortunately, the first day of the new broadcast month always brings Bruce's Memorial Challenge, named after my dear friend, and if you didn't know him, he was your dear friend too, because he helped us for years get every month off to a good fundraising start by doubling the amount that came in. And so now, in Bruce's memory, because he left us too early and too soon a few years back, still miss him. I do. Loved our conversations. Ralph's and Chris in Germany and an anonymous friend make sure that there's a $300 challenge that begins the month, the brand new broadcast month. And actually, if we could meet that challenge today, we would wipe out the June deficit, and we would be only $100 in the hole for getting July started. So hopefully, please don't let these challenges go by, because it's an opportunity to double your money. Go over to headon.live. That's where the PayPal button is. Or if you'd like to be a brand new Patreon subscriber or a brand new PayPal subscriber, it's all there for you. And remember, when we're talking about subscribing for $10 a month, I mean, we call it a subscription. It's not like, it's just a commitment to be there for independent liberal progressive broadcasting every month. Because we're not selling anything here. We don't sell things. This is not really, it's not a capitalist enterprise. It's a way for us to talk together and not be drowned out in the din of multimillionaire for-profit corporate media. So we'd love to have subscribers. It would be wonderful to have more subscribers. But first and foremost, let's take care of Bruce's Memorial Challenge. And that'll, like I said, that'll wipe out last month, and it'll get us $200 of today. So, and of course, going into the holiday weekend, more on that in a minute, it'll take a little stress off of me. So here's the deal. It is a supposed holiday weekend. And in the past, I've done things like, read the Declaration of Independence. I used to stand on the porch and read that, to a disinterested world, but it was fun. I'll not be doing that. I will not do that ever again. The white people of Vicksburg, Mississippi were so aggrieved when Vicksburg fell to a Union siege on July the 4th, 1863. That was the same day that the enslaving traitors also went limping away from Gettysburg. And it really did signal there would be a lot more bloody and awful fighting, because you know, they couldn't learn. So, you know, William Tecumseh Sherman had to be sent onward from Vicksburg and just go on a barbecue tour of the South. But the people of Vicksburg did not celebrate the 4th of July, the so-called Independence Day, for 100 years or more. And frankly, I think the women of America and their allies have an absolutely perfected right not to do it either, because it all rings so hollow. All this talk about all men are created equal. Well, guess what? Yeah, because that's Declaration of Independence language. You know, most right-wingers, most maggots, Republicans don't even know the difference between, we've talked about this in the past, they don't know the difference between the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. You know, the Declaration of Independence is a propaganda document that says we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creators, with yada, 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 yada. And you know what? Turns out they weren't kidding. I mean, those are some highfalutin, high-minded words now, aren't they? Mm-hmm. But when they said we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, you know what? They were not using some sort of universal men includes everybody else. No. They meant men, y'all. And the women can pound sand and, you know, cook dinner and make John Adams a sandwich and have babies. All men are created equal. And so this is, you know, the upcoming holiday is Independence Day, and it marks the independence of white, cis, heterosexual, Christian, property-owning men from the crown of merry old England. Interestingly, merry old England would act to abolish slavery and didn't really have a bloody civil war over it. They generally had their bloody civil wars over things like who got to be king next, or which Bible people were reading. But they abolished slavery with a sort of, okay, I think that seems like a good idea, and they abolished slavery. So one might actually argue that the revolution, the War of Independence, was actually a war to, funny how it works out, perpetuate the enslavement of human beings. So, look, I've got, like I said, I found Boston Butts on sale for 50 cents a pound. Got a couple of them. They are presently on the smoker. In point of fact, when the conversation gets going for the front porch, I might actually pop out there for a second and just see how they're going. They've been on for 5 hours now, so there's no risk of them burning or overcooking or anything like that. But still, you know, gotta check. And the hickory smoke and the applewood smoke are just merrily wafting out the chimney. It's gonna be good. It's gonna be so good. But that's all in the future. Thank you very kindly to Charlene in Rogues Island. Thank you, Charlene, so very much for jumping in on Bruce's Memorial Challenge. We now have $275 to go on it. Thank you, Charlene. And thank you as well to Jeremy in Vermont, who says, let's hope the second half of the year gives better results for life here on Earth. Well, be the change you want to see in the world, Jeremy. You know how that works. So we've now got $250 to go on Bruce's Memorial Challenge. Thank you. The universal nickname, I was talking about nicknames for Little Lily. Stephen New York points out, the universal nickname from Rose Nyland, Betty White's character in The Golden Girls, Mei Ling. No. Okay. And Darlene says, happy July 1st. I love the month of July. Shame it only comes around once a year. LOL. Yeah, I know. It is the absolute best of summer. But it's almost as though it's almost as though maybe the earth itself, at least here in Appalachia, will be crying, because this holiday weekend is actually going to be a sodden rainfest. Oh yeah. We're looking at what did it say last time? Yeah, tomorrow 40% chance of thunder showers. Saturday, 40% chance of thunder showers. Oh, look. Monday, July the 4th, clear as a bell. Tuesday, 60% chance of thunder showers. But, yeah, you got to expect to deal with some of that when you live in a temperate rainforest. But really, I'm not going to celebrate it. May never celebrate it again. First early movie reference from Casablanca. Rick Blaine remembering the first time that he met Ilse Lund. I remember the day. The Germans wore gray. You wore blue. And Ilse says, yes, and maybe I'll wear it again when they are gone, when they've been defeated. It's kind of how I feel about the 4th of July right now, because there's not a lot to celebrate. I know, Robin's a little ray of sunshine. But it just feels a little too much like I'm celebrating the rights of cisgender, heterosexual, white Christian men, because nobody else has any rights to speak of. And of course, this would be a good time to remember the quote from Dobbs: from the moment of fertilization, a woman has no rights to speak of. Look at the bright side, Jeremy says. The year's half over. What else could possibly go wrong? Oh, shut up. So much could go wrong. Quote from the movie 1776, Lee in New York says, because you're talking about the Declaration of Independence, I'll give one nice retort from Adams wanting to see Jefferson's progress in that film. Adams: do you mean to say that it's not yet finished? Jefferson: No, sir. I mean to say it's not yet begun. Because remember, Jefferson spoke in a high, reedy voice. Adams: good God, a whole week. The entire earth was created in a week. Jefferson turns to face him. Someday, you must tell me how you did it. High, thin, reedy voice. Yeah. So, by way of pointing out what may be coming next, because, again, there will be more Supreme Court action coming the first Monday in October. And y'all, they're going to do it again. Only this time I'm not talking about the violent coup extremist insurrectionists. I'm talking about the 6 insurrectionists on the Supreme Court of the United States. They've got this idea, and they've actually agreed to hear a particular case arising. It's an appeal arising out of the state of North Carolina stand. And it has to do with the redistricting of that state that was thrown out as being a racist POS by North Carolina's own Supreme Court. Seems like it might be the right of a state Supreme Court to do something like that, especially if they were presented with oh, I don't know, clear and convincing evidence of the fact? Well, nope. Nope. The on the way out of town, our supreme, majestic, most puissant, dread sovereign Catholic majesties declared that they are going to hear a case that centers on something that, and you'll be hearing more about this, the ISLD. It would make more sense if it was ILSD, but the ISLD, it's Independent State Legislature Doctrine. Now, this piece of this piece of political theory, which it would be an insult to wrap fish guts with. Bear in mind, I mean, it would be an insult to the fish. Says that state legislatures can do anything they want to, and there ain't a damn thing the federal government can do about it. You know, when it comes to elections. Or, wait, women's bodies. Oh, or wait, adolescent medical care. And so that's coming. The case is called Moore versus Harper. And Moore versus Harper attempts to override the ruling of the Supreme Court of the state of North Carolina stand and reinsert a brutal, gerrymandered, ugly, dirty, filthy, rotten Republican gerrymandered map that's designed entirely to disenfranchise black voters. And of course they celebrate they were on the way to celebrating, and then it got overturned, and now they're celebrating their day of jubilee because the Supreme Court, for reasons known only to our six majestic, supreme, most puissant, dread sovereign Catholic majesties, have said that they want to hear the case. And in the case of this fascist gang, you don't want to hear a case unless you want to, you know, fix the case. And so that's what's going to happen. The case will be heard in October. It will probably be ruled upon by, say, it'll be heard in October 22. It will be ruled upon by, say, let's guess maybe, oh, I don't know, June the 30th, 2023. See how it plays out? And that will set things up for maggot legislatures to do any old damn thing they want to in terms of the selection of electors. Among other things, if they rule as I expect them to, the Moore case would mean that various state schemes, states' rights, not this time, some states use independent commissions to draw their district maps so as to prevent political skullduggery from entering into the calculations. Well, those states, California, by the way, is one of them, y'all. Those states' independent commissions could be struck down by Moore. Just the way that the Dobbs case struck down and in almost, well, a hundred, struck down women's reproductive health care clinics for 100 million Americans. Because you see, the Republicans understand and that if they can win Moore, they can fuck America, and it doesn't matter what the will of the people is. It's just a matter of the will of the legislature. Joe Biden might win, oh, I don't know, let's pick some unlikely place. Let's say Joe Biden wins Ohio in 2024. Well, if the Moore case goes the way that the Republicans want, the Ohio legislature could say, fuck it, we're going to send us some Republican electors down to Washington, D.C. They're not kidding. They are consolidating their fascist theocracy. Plain and simple. So just maybe jot down a little note. Just write down Moore case. Moore v. Harper. And, I don't know, strap in. And you remember J. Michael Luttig? Now, this guy is an ultra-conservative, former judge. And he's been trying to, scream from the rooftops what Moore v. Harper is going to bring to America. I mean, he's running around with his hair on fire. Among other things, he says that in Moore v. Harper, Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, Judge Elena Kagan, and Judge Sonia Sotomayor will join with, of all people, old balls and strikes John Roberts. That's four. While Sammy Bad Breath and Slappy Pubes on the Coke Can Thomas and Ann's boy Neil with a K Gorsuch and Brat Kavanaugh are pretty much solidly in the Republican camp. And there's this notion that maybe the handmaid might be the joker in the deck. Neither I nor the folks in Vegas will take that bet. She's going to vote like a handmaid should vote. I agree wholeheartedly, Darlene. Darlene in Connecticut says the SCOTUS is off for the summer. May they be dogged by protesters everywhere they go. May their summer be utterly ruined. Because make no mistake, they have utterly ruined mine. And this second-class citizen don't like her July being ruined. Because her likes her July. You know, I'll bet July in Connecticut is delightful. Now, bear in mind, the further south you go, the less delightful July gets. It's positively oppressive, I'll warrant, for my dear sister Miss Terry down on the Gulf right now. And all my other sisters and brothers and non-binary siblings down there. Of course, that's also because it's, you know, hurricane season. But, no, I get it. I hope there's someone there to scream at them every time they step outside their doors. I hope they have to build Jefferson-esque tunnels under their property to sneak away any time that they want to go out and have some, you know, $50, $100 a plate, fine, Michelin-starred repast. No justice, no peace. Fourth celebrations, Matt in San Francisco writes, so next on the list is taking away our vote. Not much to celebrate. Expand the fucking court, Democrats. I don't want to have to throw my size 15 stiletto at your head. Where do you get them that... I've got to learn to walk in high heels. I'm doing okay with the kitten heels. I can handle about two and a half inches of heel. But, size 15 stiletto. That must mean they've got 13 wides, Matt. But I get... Yeah, don't... I'm easily diverted. What can I say? But, yeah, expand... And again, expand the court. And which brings me to some remarks from President Biden. If I didn't know better, I'd swear he was sitting there with a cardigan sweater on every evening. Oh, I got a Got to head up to the residence. Robin will be on in a little bit. Somehow or another, she knows what's going on. No, I kid myself. But the fact of the matter is, Joe was talking, and he said, listen, and oh, this is going to piss y'all off. Because it even kind of, it makes sense, but it even rang hollow to me. Listen, y'all got to elect more Democrats. We got to build the majority in the House, and we got to build a majority in the Senate. And then he said exactly what I have said for two nights running. Because if you don't, if we don't, and if the Republicans get a majority in both houses, one of the first things they'll do, and he didn't say this, but hey, Joe, listen, it's not going to be the first thing they do. One of the first things they do is going to be to pass a national ban on abortion. National. That means, again, California, doesn't matter what you put in your Constitution, if there is a federal ban on abortion, y'all get shut down. And the same with every other civilized state. But he's right. They will do that. It will not be, however, the first thing they do, Joe. The first thing they will do will be impeach your ass. And probably impeach Kamala, too, the vice president, Vice President Harris. Probably impeach her, too, so that they can make Kevin McCarthy president of the United States. Or at least that would be the goal. I mean, can you see Joe Manchin voting with Republicans to convict Joe Biden? You see, I can. I so can. But President Biden is not wrong. I know y'all go vote sounds like a really, really weak excuse when what a lot of people would like to do is go and put a goddamn brick through the window of the Heritage Foundation. But while that might be a blow for women's rights, fuck! It's not gonna restore any rights. And while I'm entirely in support of the idea of making sure that those six never enjoy a moment's peace in public for the rest of their natural born days, I heartily endorse it. Nonviolently, of course. The only thing we have is voting. And I know I am pissing people off right now because I'm pissed off. I gotta wait till November? Well, we can raise hell between now and then, and I heartily endorse doing that, too. March, damn it. Make your position and your voices heard. Let's do some Lysistrata shit. Maybe, I don't know, maybe liberal, progressive, democratic women should go out and strike up relationships with conservative right-wing men and get them dating real good. I know, I'm talking about taking one for the team here. And then say, oh, no. No sex. Till after marriage. No, this idea is not going to work. This is making me nauseated. But somehow managed to bust out all Lysistrata on Republican men, and it's like, no, sorry, none for you. Hey, y'all want to hear the punchline of that joke with the pennies that I was talking about last night? Because this actually works. No, I'm not going to do that. No. But seriously, Is there some way to deny Republican right-wing men sex? I mean, you know, with women. I'm not talking about their predilection for having sex with children. They're supposed to be legally proscribed from doing that, and yet somehow or another we keep finding them doing that. But in the final analysis, what happens in November is what happens for the rest of the country, perhaps for the rest of our lives. And we've been over this too. Every election we say this is the most important election of our lives. And it's been true. It's been true with every election, don't get me wrong. It's just that the stakes keep getting raised. In anything that even mumbles a bit about being a democracy, every election is the most important election of our lives. It's just that they've run the stakes up to 11 now. God, I saw, where was it? I saw an editorial cartoon today. Was that you, Flavio? No, maybe it was Nick in Wisconsin. Somebody in Wisconsin. It showed a grown-up handmaid the red cloak, the white hat, the white bonnet, and a young handmaid. And the young handmaid asks the grown-up handmaid, but why didn't y'all do anything about it? And she responds, well, you see, gas prices were very high that year. And that's a reference to all of this braying and hooting about inflation and shortages. And that constitutes taking our eyes off the prize. You know, if the supposedly liberal leaning networks that are supposedly, if they're actually concerned about what's been done to women in this country and people who can become pregnant, then maybe lay off the stupid inflation talk for a little bit. I mean, it works for Fox because, you know, they're all inflation all the time and honestly couldn't care less what those six black-robed Klansmen have done to the rights of every female in this country. So, you know, voting, yeah, it really does matter. And we have to overwhelm the ability of the maggots to get their fetus fetishists out from behind the baseboards. Well, Ralph's asked, so Robin, does Joe Biden need to appoint four more Supreme Court justices? He can't. He can't. The only thing he can do is abide by the will of the Congress. The number of Supreme Court justices is set by the Congress. So there would have to be a bill that went through the House and then went through the Senate. And, yeah, Mitch McConnell. But the president cannot unilaterally do it because FDR tried and he got dunked on by the Supreme Court. And in listening to what Joe Biden said, he was prescient. He said something that we've been saying here for eons. If the Republicans get power, they will pass a national abortion ban. In the House and in the Senate. Now, what he didn't know, what he didn't say, because perhaps he didn't want to inflame the toxic turtle, the worst, most vituperative, vicious, disgusting thing ever to creep, crawl, or slither out of Colbert County, Alabama. Mitch McConnell. He didn't say, and y'all, by the way, if they get that majority in the House and Senate, and the House passes the national abortion ban, it will pass the Senate of the United States because Mitch McConnell will ditch the filibuster quicker than you can quicker than you can say handmade. And he also didn't say, and then people are going to laugh at Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema until they turn blue. Because that's also true. And again, as I pointed out in yesterday's program, Mitch recently said,
"Oh, you know, I don't think we're going to pass a national abortion ban because don't either side of the Senate will have 60 votes."
Yeah, I like that's going to matter to you. And it matters how, and understand it matters how you vote up and down the ballot. I mean, this really is a time for straight ticket voting. Vote for Democrats. Don't, no independents in November. No Green Party, no Mountain Party, no, none of that shit. Vote for Democrats, because then you got a fighting chance. I mean, I fully expect that by the time late January, early February rolls around, I expect the Republican majority in Charleston, West Virginia, to just flat out outlaw me. And fuck all that noise about bills of attainder. The Republicans can't even spell attainder. Gotta vote. It matters what happens in your county commissions, in your courthouses. It matters what happens in your state legislatures. It matters what happens in your governor's office. And it matters what happens in Congress. Well, and I don't know if you remember, but the whole shtick of back then, it was, "Bob, don't tell us how..." It actually started with a member of the Purity Patrol saying back during the heady days of the Purity Wars,
"Bob, stop telling us how to vote."
Well, I guess I did it again. But I think there's a pretty damn good reason for doing it. Well, thank you, Darlene. Darlene, good on you for the heels. I totally can't do heels. Yes, although we have brutally hot and humid days here during the summer, it is glorious in Connecticut right now, emphasis right now. Because you know what one of Connecticut's favorite sons, Samuel Langhorne Clemens, said about New England weather? Feel free to take creative license with Twain-like voice and inflection. "If you don't like New England weather, wait a few minutes." Because it's true. Oh, yeah, he loved. And God, didn't he build just a majestic pile of wooden bricks? What was it, in Hartford? Was it Hartford, Darlene? The Twain House is still a shrine, and if I ever get up that way, it's on the list. And where else? Elmira, New York. And having been born and raised and come from, you talk about hot and humid, Hannibal, Missouri. Yeah. And if you need a good giggle, since Mark Twain has been brought up, by all means, look up a short story called The Experiences. No. It's called Political Economy. It's just called Political Economy. And it's Mark Twain sitting down to write about political economy and that wonder of the modern world back then, lightning rods. Trust me, you'll love it. Going back to my Lysistrata theory, Randy Radar says, you make them pay huge child support, and by the way, it's apparently textbook psychology that narcissists keep doubling down and don't de-escalate conflicts. But then again, Republicans are not big fans of child support either, so... Look, nothing is safe. Not a goddamn thing is safe. They've been doing this for years, and we've been watching them do it for years. Ron and Raleigh notes, you had to know this POS doctrine of independent... Independent state legislative doctrine, whatever. Yeah, this POS doctrine was invented out of whole cloth by another right-wing jagoff, one high as a Georgia pine, William Pirates of Penzance Rehnquist. And he was high as a Georgia... Again, like I've said before, we should probably revisit every decision in which William Rehnquist participated in the majority, because he was probably wasted. Because remember, William, Pirates of Penzance Rehnquist, was, and I'm casting no aspersions here, it's just the word, a junkie. Bill the Junkie Rehnquist. Junkie Bill. And as Ron points out, if it don't exist, they'll make it up. Originalism, textualism, unitary executive, and the rest of that horse shit. They won't call it Gilead per se, but what's the difference? Yeah. With apologies to Gertrude Stein, a Gilead is a Gilead is a Gilead is a Gilead. And adds, hey, you know who'll vote for a national abortion ban? Henry Cuellar, Ron says. That's who, but you have to protect the caucus, don't you? Well, I tell you what, you're not gonna let go of that one, are you, Ron? He probably would, and it would be a national shame. But the fact that he would have an opportunity to vote for one, that won't be on Henry Cuellar, and it won't be on Nancy Pelosi either. It won't be on the Democratic caucus in the House. It'll be on people who stay home because they didn't get a pony. I like to hope that the women on our side of the aisle will vote like their lives depend on it, because they do. And maybe, because I've seen some news articles to this effect, maybe the lights have finally gone on for young people. Because every election, especially every presidential election, we talk about what a powerful voting block the youth vote could be, and then they stay home. Maybe not now. Because apparently, based on some of the stuff I've seen, young guys have figured out that what was done to women in the Dobbs decision was done to them too. Because it's going to affect their ability to fuck. It's kind of like that difference between the two restroom graffitis. Men's room have lots of dicks drawn on the wall while women are actually writing shit. No, not shit, but interesting stuff. So maybe guys are figuring it out. Young women are figuring it out. They just figured it had never happened, and now it has. This is a mighty tool that we have been handed. And I hate to describe it that way, but it is. The Supreme Court has handed a campaign item the likes of which the Democrats have not lately seen. Of course, the Robin Kincaid little ray of sunshine aspect of that is that I'm so old that I can remember when we were talking back in 2016 about how important the Supreme Court would be. And it didn't matter a hill of beans. Because, you know, Hillary said super predators once. And so the machine that was 25 years in building by the right wing and with massive funding was humming on all all 16 cylinders. This sucker was a Rolls Royce. And the quarter century long sliming of Hillary Clinton paid off. And some people they didn't get a pony crowd said, "Well, you know what? Everybody else can vote for her. I'm gonna be ideologically pure." Only oops. 3 Supreme Court justices in 1 4-year term. 3. And here we are. Here we effing are. And Jeremy pointing out, who's this Bob guy you often speak of, Robin? I need to let them know you've infringed once again on their don't tell us shtick. Okay. Darlene continues and said, "Moscow Mitch is a fucking liar. He'll push to pass a nationwide ban faster than you can say anti-disestablishmentarianism." Huh? Huh? Now that's a good one. Not to toot my own horn, but cowbell, please. Yes, ma'am. Right there for you. I didn't even have to be told. I was reaching for it anyway. But, pardon me while I had a giggle earlier when I saw the governor of Arkansas, one Asa Hutchinson. He announced today that having watched the J6 hearings, he has come to the conclusion that, Donald Trump is a threat to our democracy. Son of a gun. Now, he watched 2 impeachment proceedings. He watched Donald J. Trump be impeached twice with literal Himalayas mountains of evidence proving that he was a threat to democracy. But Liz Cheney said it, and all of a sudden, Asa Hutchinson understands. And, you know, Asa Hutchinson Hutchinson understands a little bit about threats to democracy. You know why Asa Hutchinson understands a little bit about threats to democracy? Because he spent years as a member of the House of Representatives in a desperate hunt deep into the darkness of the zipper of Bill Clinton looking for the dreaded cleanness. Yes, yes indeed. Asa Hutchinson was one of those who stepped up to, "My fellow Americans, the flag is fallen and democracy is under threat because Bill Clinton got a blowjob. Whatever shall we tell the children?" And I get a little more confirmed in my belief every day that Liz Cheney's running for president. Yeah. And I think that opinion is shared by no small number of people. Oh, yeah. Because she is. Oh, thank you, Darlene. Yes, it's in Hartford, the Twain Mansion. An exquisite home, she says, and believed to be haunted by his deceased young daughter. God, what a tragedy. What a horror of a story. His beloved little daughter. And if it would be haunted by anybody, it would be her. But anyway, Asa Hutchinson showed up on CBS after Liz Cheney had said that Nitwit Nero is a domestic threat to the United States of America. And suddenly, Asa Hutchinson has had his Road to Damascus moment. Didn't care that Nitwit Nero was shaking down the president of Ukraine, engaged in a bribery scheme. Didn't actually care with all of the evidence that was presented in the impeachment of Nitwit Nero the second time in February of 2021. Nope, that didn't convince him. Oh, but... Daddy's little deferment did. On CBS, he said, as you can see from the testimony on January 6th and subsequent to the election, where he was challenging the legality of it, the lawful transfer of party, yes, that was a threat to our democracy. That was a threat to our institutions of government, and that's not the behavior we want to see in a responsible president. Oh, did I mention Joe Biden sucks and he run them gas prices up all by himself? But he's hedging his bets. I lied. He didn't say that business, but he's thinking them. Instead, he hedged his bets by saying, oh, now listen here. I still don't think the J6 committee has proved nothing to the in the way of Trump actually committing no crimes in the 2020 election. But they've give us more than enough evidence that he shouldn't never be president again. I would not be supporting him for 2024. He acted irresponsibly during the time he was a risk to the nation, absolutely. What have I got left to do except laugh sardonically? I mean, I could sit here and just hold my very nicely made up little eyes in my face and my hands and weep, but that doesn't make for very good radio now, does it?
I saw the light, Liz Cheney told me.
Oh, shit, what are you doing singing, Robin? We got $250 to go on Bruce's memorial challenge, and you may have just tanked the whole darn thing. We're trying to crawl out of a hole. Darn it. I gotta be more mindful about that kind of thing. Let me see here. Let me see if this is something I can deal with. Going all the way back to October 7th last year. Justice Sonia Sotomayor delivered some remarks to a group of law students. And Shorty's right. Now it seems to kind of be, it looks and feels prophetic. Yeah, by the way, CNN is pitching their 4th of July celebration with fireworks from coast to coast. You know, CNN, you might want to read the room. There's a lot of people ain't going to be wearing red, white, and blue on Monday. Instead, they're going to be wearing black. No, that's true, Randy Radar. I can always threaten to play Metal Boone. God, the horror, the horror. So, what's her name? Brianna McKellar had a package piece on CNN. And it would work a lot better if I brought up the right audio.
The American Bar Association telling lawyers, quote, there is going to be a lot of disappointment in the law, a huge amount. Her comments coming on the heels of a scathing dissent that she wrote earlier this month, criticizing her fellow justices who refused to block a Texas law that bans abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy, that law that John was just talking about there. CNN's Ariane DeVogue joining us now to talk about this. Wowee, Ariane.
Yeah, and the timing here is interesting, right? On Monday, this new term starts. It includes a direct challenge to Roe v. Wade, a big...
Skip a bit, sister.
Appointment in the law, a huge amount. As you study cases and look at the outcomes you disagree with, it can get frustrating. Look at me. Look at my dissents. So, you know, I can't change Texas's law, but you can, and everyone else who may or may not like it can go out there and be lobbying forces in changing laws that you don't like. What's interesting there is she did something that justices usually don't do, which is refer to a case that's before the court, right? She brings up that Texas law, and the justices are still considering that. But I have to say, I don't think she gets in any trouble there, because what she said yesterday...
Yeah, basically, guess what she said? Go vote. Make your voices heard. Now, she's a member of the Supreme Court of the United States, so she can't do that whole burn, baby, burn thing. But... that's the only answer. Go freaking vote. No, I will not let it go, says Ron and Raleigh. That asshole Cuellar only won by 300 votes by dint of the Democratic House leadership coming to Texas and bigfooted the race with big money. With friends like this, do you really need enemies? I suppose Chuck Schumer should run down to Arizona and throw the weight of the Senate leadership behind Kyrsten Sinema. Well, you can bet your ass in 2024 when Joe Manchin is in trouble in West Virginia, and Joe Manchin will be in trouble in West Virginia because there's been a palace coup in the West Virginia Democratic Party, which you might think is a good thing, but it really wasn't. Joe's just going to ignore the state party even more than he already was. But, yeah, they'll come down here, and they'll shill for Joe against some Republican POS in November of 2024. You better bet your ass they will. And you know what I said. You know, I'm not approving of it, but why be surprised when something unsurprising happens? And he only won by 300 votes, so that's 300 votes he wouldn't have had if it weren't for the... I mean, I guess. I mean, Ron Monkey up DeKlantis won the governorship of Florida over Andrew Gillum with the help of real-life, no-kidding Nazis. So I guess help is help. But the fact of the matter is, it doesn't solve the problem. The wolf is at the door, and I really think spending time complaining about whether we oppose the wolf with a shotgun or a 45. And maybe that's not even an appropriate metaphor. I understand Henry Cuellar was an anachronism. I get that. But what do you do about the fact that the guy has kept a seat in Democratic hands in Texas? Now, if he loses this to a Republican, well, I guess we'll just call it justice and say that the Democratic voters or whoever voted for him in the primary, I mean, this is Texas, right? I mean, is that one of those open primary free-for-all states? What if it was 300 Republicans who crossed over and voted for him instead? So seldom in life is anything black or white. It's all that goddamn gray that makes the difference. So look, I have filibustered. Well, therein ends the filibuster. Thank you so much to our buddy Don in BC. We are now down to only $200 to go on Bruce's Memorial Challenge. $200. If we do that, then hallelujah, we will be caught up. We will be caught up with last week or last month. That hole will be filled, and we can, and all we'll have left is $100 for today. So, hopefully, I won't be talking about this for the next 2 hours. And let's go ahead and go over the river and through the trees to the old holler tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves, wherein we keep the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable, and check in who's running the show this evening. Are you there, Sparky?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. I didn't. Are you the Natasha and Boris icon?
That's me. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why I picked that icon. I changed it.
Well, I'm always good with a Bullwinkle avatar.
Anyway, last week I was going to tell you, but my old hollow tree is laying on the ground.
I saw the picture. What happened?
A big excavator came in and knocked it down in preparation for the prune orchard that's going in there by next spring.
Holy cow. There'll be plums before they're prunes.
Oh, yeah, but we just call them prunes here because that's what the product is.
Well, I'm curious because I've never had a prune plum, and I love fresh plums. They've got a flavor unlike any other fruit, and they can have a kind of a spiciness to them, and so is a prune plum? I mean, can you just eat the plum, or do you have to wait till it's a prune? You ever had a prune plum?
No. I just know what the trees look like. They pick them and they haul them over to the Sunsweet dehydrator over here down the road from me. And that's when they turn them into prunes.
I mean, I for one kind of like prunes. I think they've got a wonderful flavor. I used to make prune muffins, and like back when I was at CNN years ago, I would bake prune muffins and take them because they're delicious. But when I took them in, I had to explain them. or I had to explain. I said, "Oh no, what you got there, Robin?" "Oh, I got some plum muffins. Really? I love plums. But if I said prune, they would be untouched." Go figure.
But that's the code you should have done. Unless you wanted them touched.
So, for anybody out there, if you prune Danish, no, tell them it's plum Danish. They'll be fine. So are you inside? You're certainly not out in the man cave today, are you?
Oh, hell no.
Oh, hell no.
Fucking not in there. Doors are open, but nobody's home.
Literally.
I don't go back out there till about 8 o'clock at night. I've been trying to work out there. I had to go work every day from about 10 to 11 or so. Right in that time range, cutting up wood the other day, because when they knocked down that big tree, the old tree, they came along the property line and they trimmed all the oak trees on the pasture side only. And dropped all the wood. So it was laying there, and my neighbor, who's a little more agile than I am, went through the barbed wire fence over there and started cutting them up. And he cut up a bunch of chunks, and smaller chunks, and then him and his kids, they threw them over the fence into my backyard. Then I just had to haul them over to the man cave where my cutting table is and chop them down so they're smaller to be able to fit in my fireplace insert with my ego chainsaw.
Are you still liking it?
Oh, I'm loving it. The only thing was cutting up that wood, and it, you got to take and you got to blow out the little chamber that the cover that goes over the bar.
Yeah.
You got to blow that out because it'll get filled up with wood chunks and stuff. You got to clean it out. Now, I've got an air compressor in the shop with a nozzle air gun.
Well, I've been now they make two different sizes of them. Which one do you have, the smaller or the bigger?
26-inch bar.
Holy mackerel! Yeah, that's the big one.
26, but the 16. I don't know why I said 26.
Yeah, it's like there's a 13 and a 16.
They make a 16 and a 14, I think.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm in Lowe's. Go ahead.
I got it off of Amazon for $23 with all my Amazon points.
Holy cow.
I should say Judy's Amazon points.
Well, yeah. But that way you think over every time you crank it up or turn it on.
Kind of, yeah.
Is there any cranking involved? I mean, is there a cord? There's no cord to pull.
No, you just got to hook that 56-volt battery up to it.
And away you go.
You got a trigger, and then you got a safety handle up by the bar thing, the jump plate, you call it, or whatever, buck plate or whatever. There's the bar you hang on with your left hand if you're right-handed and trigger. Well, there's a safety switch in that bar you hang on to. It's got to be pressed down.
Yeah, it's kind of a dead man switch.
Yeah.
Well, I have been, every time I go to Lowe's, I look at them longingly because I've got a small forest of trash maples that needs to come down. It's pretty, but it needs to come down. I desperately want to get somebody in here with a brush hog. And just, but those two are hard to find, you know, folks with brush hogs. But one of the things that kind of surprised me when I was at the big box home improvement store, Ego, have you seen that? Have you seen that monster riding lawnmower they've come out with, Sparky?
No.
Yeah, there's an Ego riding lawnmower.
I'm not going there.
There is an ego riding lawnmower, and it's one of those zero turn affairs, you know, that steer like a tank. It doesn't have a wheel, and it's got, you know, it's got two levers, and I think it was $6,000, maybe $8,000.
Too rich for my blood.
You same.
Been $2,100 and some change for my Husqvarna 42-inch riding lawnmower.
Well, and truth be told, every time it sounds like Ferg's firing up the Sopwith Camel at the Lafayette Escadrille, that's actually the Husqvarna rider. I like to get out with the ego push mower. I mean, self propelled, and because you can. You can kind of get in places that a big old riding lawnmower don't necessarily want to go. But
I don't need a lawnmower that much anymore. Everything's dead.
Because drought.
Yeah, and because I don't have a well, I'm running off my neighbor's water. Remember, you can't get a well driller out here. I think we've been through this before. Hello?
Yeah, I'm right here, listening.
Oh. So my lawn died last year. It's mostly weeds. I mowed it yesterday, the little part of it, but the back lot, everything's just gone. It's the only thing living out there is the three tomato plants I got. And I'm going to have a tomato on the 4th of July.
I was about to ask the minute you said tomato plant.
There's one on there that's almost ready. It just went to orange to light red. Now it has to darken a little bit more.
A couple more days in the sun and you'll be able, what, you know, pluck it about noon on Monday? Or will you give it a little longer?
I can do that. No, it'll be Monday for sure. I've got to do it Monday. Just to honor my dad. Did I ever tell you that story?
I don't think so, no.
My dad always said you got to plant, get your tomatoes planted by tax day. I think I've told you that much.
Oh, wow. I didn't really know. Yeah, so you get them in earlier than we can.
Yeah. So when he was getting ready to pass away, while he was still coherent, I had some tomato plants out there, and I finally got one. So he got the first tomato off the plant.
How beautiful.
And he was right after that. He ate that tomato, smiling and everything. Next day, we never talked to him again.
Oh.
He lasted till the 10th of July.
But he enjoyed a tomato.
Yes, he got to enjoy the tomato. It was his last wish.
Well, it's not a lot of us that get our last wish.
Nope. That's for sure.
So,
you know, I know that because I've been through a lot of it.
God, more than your fair share, Sparky, more than your fair share.
Things are looking up.
Well, I was going to say, how was the trip to the casino and for dinner and all of that?
Well, that's all ancient history now.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I'm moving on to something else here shortly, hopefully.
You're a machine.
No, I'm not a machine. I haven't gotten that lucky yet.
Okay. Tread lightly.
I mean, Mary and I have a wonderful friendship, but that's about it.
Well,
and I still see her every week or so.
Well, I guess I can say here, I have a date Sunday.
Well, good for you.
Thank you.
Did you finally give in to one of your sugar daddies? Come on, please tell me you did.
No. No. Although I think I've been cleaning a few of those out lately. Been a lot of them. And some of them even in other languages, Jeremy. And if Flavio is listening, he will love my butchered Italian. Ciao, piacere di conoscerti, come sta?
Okay.
But their name is still Tom, Bob, something like that, American.
Oh, yeah. The name is still very American. You know the drill, right? Yeah, that's from
a few of those letters myself.
Yeah, that's from somebody who calls themselves Donald Richard. And I just don't think he's real. Because, among other things, this guy who writes to me in Italian has photos that are definitely, you know, not taken in Italy.
How can you tell?
Because the photograph is because the place name is in freaking English. That's how.
Oh, on a sign or something?
Yeah.
I'm telling you both. Reverse image search is your best friend. You find out a lot about people by using them.
Using what?
Reverse image search.
Ah. And let's see.
Yeah, help me find a lot of porn star pictures.
Well, I may have to learn how to do that.
Off on you.
And it's funny because here's someone calling themselves Ashley Williams Hardy. I can't believe there are people who fall for this crap. Hello. You have such a profound impact on Jason Isbell's career, not even an Isbell apostrophe S, with your comments, love, and support. A text of thanks would not fail to express our gratitude to you. We love you. Jason wants you to write to him personally. Thank you. My name is Ashley. I'm his personal manager. Sure you are, Ashley. Sure you are.
Don't you know him personally?
I've met him. I mean, it's not like we're buddies or no, but I've met him. We've chatted. Oh. But no. And if that was the case, well,
I knew you'd met him somewhere before.
Yeah, we hung out for a while. And then there's Rita Morgalis. She must be next door neighbors with Rita Mandamus. Sorry to infringe your privacy. Your profile is irresistible. I must say you look adorable. I'd like to talk to you sometime if you don't mind. Well, I do, because, you know, you're not Rita. Someone by the name of Welsh Graham. Hello, my beautiful friend. These things, oh my God, these things are just precious.
Are you using a chat program?
No, this is all just Instagram. The dating sites are even more interesting. It got bad enough I had to put into my profile. Seriously, don't send dick pics. I will block you. Somehow or another that wound up getting me, I don't know, maybe they felt like it was a challenge.
I don't even do Instagram or know what the hell it's all about.
Nah, it's just a place for posting pictures and comments and hashtags. I think that's my Facebook bottom.
But I'm an old pro to dating sites, though, and then getting them to come on to Google Hangouts or now on Google Chat.
Oh, is that how that works? Because a bunch of them are like, give me your Telegram contact or give me your what's your WhatsApp or can we talk on Snapchat? And I'm like, no, we'll just talk right here. That's fine.
Well, most of the people have Gmail accounts, and that's how you get on the Gmail chat, not Google chat. And then before that, they had Hangouts, but they're trying to phase it out right now. And I've told a bunch of the women I've talked to, but they refuse to go there. And you can do video calls and stuff there.
Yeah, I haven't worked up the courage for any of that stuff yet.
Well, I've tried to get them to do it, but then you can't. Google Chat won't hook up with Hangouts on video.
So, tried Bumble. Bumble was a total bust because that was nothing but a bunch of guys who described themselves as Christian conservatives going, hey, and I go, did you read my profile? Did you see the part that said post-op trans woman? Oh, no. Oh, good luck, bye. And, you know, where I am now, the leading question is, dick or no dick? And guys,
well, I had one time on Zeus, Z-O-O-S-K.
Okay.
Was messaging this person back and forth. She turns out she was a Trump supporter. And then she said, oh, I read your profile. And I said, yeah, it says Trump supporters don't bother. Then why are you bothering me? And I kept calling her all kinds of names, and she kept writing back to me. I said, "It's obviously you're low intelligence. I don't want to be."
That was a scammer or a spammer. I've run across that wasn't a real Trump supporter. That was a scammer, you know, because that's a thing. You know, I'm waiting. You know, they came up with
that at times in the chat there on that Zeus site, and then finally she gave up.
Well, you know, they came up with that one dating site a while back, and they bought a shit ton of advertising called Farmers Only.
Yeah, I know. I got an email from them. Something like somebody saw my profile. I said, "What the hell is it doing on Farmers Only?"
I mean, there's J-Date for Jewish people looking for other lonely Jewish people. There's Christian Mingle. Where's Hillbillies Only? Or better yet, you know, where's Progressives Only or Liberals Only or Democrats Only? Of course, that would just get immediately slimed and spammed by, you know, maggots.
So speaking of farmers, yeah. I was telling a group of people last weekend, and I've said this before, my family owns a camp up on the northern reaches of Vermont. I'm talking, you can see Canada within half mile where you stand at the camp.
And Russia?
No, not Russia.
Oh, sorry. Wrong end of the continent.
That's right, wrong end of the continent. But anyway, on the way up, there's this huge barn, and you have to go right by it because you turn by it. And you can't get more ironic than this. It's not as bad as my old house. But one side, it says Bernie, and the other side, an even bigger side, it says Trump won 2020.
Oh, who lives there? Who owns that?
A farmer, clearly, because Bernie did a lot of good things for farmers here, but still someone who's low information because they think Trump won.
Yeah, without it, the Jays. Well, we have reached the halfway point of the program, and I have a note from Lady B. How we got here, black women, white women, and why hearing black women's perspective can be uncomfortable. I had the daughter of my oldest nephew's brother-in-law redo my twists yesterday. She was pissed about a lot of things. She was appalled by the overturning of Roe v. Wade. She doesn't care for abortion, but being a mother of four, she knows a woman's struggles. This is a woman who has vision problems, so she listens to a lot of people. Regarding birth control, she said she had her tubes tied in her late 30s, but she was afraid for her 20-something-year-old daughter. She was even afraid for her three sons. She said the court had no right to do what they did, and it was none of their damn business what a woman chooses to do with her body. Her first husband was an asshole. She wanted her daughters to have a choice, especially when it came to birth control. She knew what was going on. All women do. And we all know this is going to be a clusterfuck of epic proportions. She also mentioned the R. Kelly case. She wanted to know why he got 30 years, whereas Ghislaine Maxwell got only 20. She said that woman was grooming folks, too. She said, Ghislaine, and I do that deliberately, I know it's something, Ghislaine, because it's French, made money pimping out those girls, whereas R. Kelly was just using his coterie of black girls as sex slaves, some with their mother's permission. She wanted to know why it's okay to send a black man to prison for selling weed, but when white guys do it, we ended up legalizing it so they could make a fortune. I didn't indulge her on the R. Kelly thing, but I saw her point. I know legal weed and sexual abuse aren't in the same league, but it was obvious she was referring to the length of the punishment. And that got me thinking about the situation with Trump. Every time this country let the rich and mostly white get a slap on the wrist for equally heinous crimes, it makes the laws weaker and harder to enforce. Every minute, every second of the day Trump was in office, he was breaking the law. And being the president aside, he's always been able to get away with shit us ordinary citizens couldn't even dream of. Discrimination in housing with slumlord conditions? Pay a fine. Hire illegal immigrants underpay them? Pay a fine. Hold a bullshit financial class that costs the attendees thousands of dollars? Pay a fine. Take the executive office and continue to profit off your hotels? That's violating the emoluments clause, and since no one's ever done it before, we just don't know how to punish him. Send your kids overseas to make business deals with Saudi princes and Russian oligarchs, even though you're the president and your family shouldn't do that? Nothing we can do about it. Call up election officials in different states and ask them to come up with several thousand Republican votes to overturn Biden's win? Well, the House voted to impeach him and stop him from running for office again, but Mitch McConnell didn't give one single fuck about the rule of law and single-handedly denied the leader of the free world's nominee even a hearing. Oh, well. Yes, the January 6th committee is holding hearings about Trump's numerous transgressions, but it's still up to the DOJ to hit it out of the park. Garland has a lot on his plate, but it's fucking July. Maybe we'll see movement by September. Better make it quick, though. Folks are getting extremely impatient, and shit will be pushed aside because campaigning for 2024 starts next year. The point isn't whether or not Trump will be punished or even when. The point is, it should never have gotten this far. Women have lost their right to abortion access and may also lose our rights to birth control, all because Mitch McConnell deliberately held up the appointment of a Supreme Court justice. One fucking racist from Kentucky, for Christ's sake, told the President of the United States to kiss his ass and ordered his side of the aisle not to bring it up. One man, and no one could do a damn thing about it. Now we have a Supreme Court that wants to make sure women will either be beaten to death because of an extra mouth to feed or die trying to get an abortion. Dudette, they're trying to get rid of birth control, the one thing that allowed women to both enjoy sex and plan their family around their hopes and dreams without having to abandon them like my mother did. Let that sink in for a moment. Speaking of which, women's clinics doing basic services such as pap smears and mammograms will be hounded and harassed until they're forced to close. And there's nothing we can do about it because our Supreme Court is fucking bulletproof. We kept bending, if not outright changing, laws to accommodate the rich and a lot of ordinary, average white people. I say ordinary because not all the rich and powerful whites being protected are that smart. Cops were killing black guys doing something as minor as selling single cigarettes, while at the same time taking a white kid who just shot 9 black people in a church who was still armed and admitted to the crime to the fucking Burger King so he wouldn't spend the night hungry in his cell. We have very few legs left to stand on when it comes to the rule of law, and yet the average American still stands there with their finger up their nose, bewildered that you forgot to thumb up their butt, Lady B. Bewildered that the dystopian future they feared has finally arrived. Why is that? You couldn't possibly believe that they, white folks, have been arming themselves to the teeth to fight, wouldn't eventually come for them. So, if so, that's what we minorities mean when we talk about white privilege. Many Americans were content to be oblivious to every injustice until it got personal. And those that did care still had no fucking idea how their silly protest votes would come back to bite them in the ass. If you wish evil on others, if you don't care about the unfortunate, eventually misfortune will come for you. Evil is comprised of selfishness, ignorance, and complacency. Now, millions of white women are crying in disbelief that the white men who fathered them and the ones they married would stand by and let this happen. And yes, I include Uncle Thomas in that because he hates black people too. They didn't even need Handmaid Amy to overturn Roe. SCOTUS had the majority, and they all happened to be male. There should be a law against men making laws that make life harder for women. But there isn't, and probably never will be. But you know what? Fuck you, Republican white women. Fuck all y'all. From the Lululemon-wearing, Peloton-riding, skinny girl wine-drinking bitches to the live-laugh-love imbeciles who insist that there's no way in hell their Kaylee Michelle Ann pulled down her pull-ups and deliberately shit in her underpaid preschool teacher's book bag. Many American white women spend their life... That's a beautiful... I'm sorry, I got it. I was trying not... Many American white women spend their... That was just an image, Lady B. You got... I don't know. Give me a warning next time. Many American white women spend their lives in privilege and denial. They don't like something. They go crying to the white boss or their husbands, and all of a sudden the minority gets the blame. They don't like the fact that their child's history books blamed white people for, oh, I don't know, fucking slavery. So the book gets removed and changed. They feel uncomfortable about a black woman's hair, so we spent decades letting hairdressers burn our scalps and practically snatch us bald to have that silky, straight white woman hair. I know that from personal experience. And the average white woman always manages to get their way, whether it be getting someone they don't like fired or even getting stores to honor coupons that expired 2 weeks ago. Republican white women voted the way their husbands told them to. That's what a handmaid does. Being a Republican means you're doing well financially and socially. That means plenty of tax breaks and keeping minorities out of their kids' schools. It means not helping the homeless and not voting for social programs that help single mothers and the poor, because they just don't want those motherfuckers having the same nice things they do. And that's maybe the... I'll editorialize for just a moment and jump in as though this were a conversation, because it kind of is. Being a Republican means you're doing well financially and socially. Lord, that don't... That ain't the case here. And it's not the case for a lot of Republicans in Mississippi or Alabama. They're not doing well, but the Republicans have told them that they know who's keeping them from doing well. And that's a different kind of Republican politics. It's a Republican politics of hate and resentment. It's a status thing, Lady B says. They don't care about hungry kids. They don't care that their maid Consuela, who was making below minimum wage. They don't even give a fuck about the unborn, especially if they're not white and easily adoptable. They felt superior. They're attention whores. Now they're not, and they're completely to blame for this country's radical move to the far right. As an aside, I was listening to the BBC as I started writing this, and they mentioned inflation in Uganda. A woman there owns a cake shop, and she needs to raise prices, but she can't because in Uganda... cake is considered a luxury. Fucking cake. There are no Walmarts there. Oh, and domestic and sexual abuse is big there. Back in 2001, they did a poll where 90% of women believed that it was okay to beat your wife or partner. A lot of women have to sell their bodies just to survive. Abortion legally only under the strictest of circumstances, which means it is not legal at all. Can you imagine living through all that and nobody can afford to buy a fucking cake? Anyway, I know I'm being harsh, but I feel like folks need to hear this because a lot, not all, but a lot of the black women I know harbor the same resentment. Yes, Robin, women are treated less equal than men, but white women always have done just a bit better. And much to us black women's bitter resentment, they always manage to take a great cause and make it about themselves. Remember that pussy hat bullshit? I had a black woman tell me that made her extremely uncomfortable. She kept asking me, why did they have to use that word? Yes, many women have vaginas. Yes, Trump said he would grab women by the pussy. But what was the point of that protest? Did he set it? Where was that crowd before he got voted in? Did the protest ultimately move the needle? Hell, I think it actually made shit worse. Constantly reminding men you have a vagina and know how to use it just pisses them off. They hate you. They hate that you can withhold sex. That's why they make the rules that make you accountable for rapes and any unwanted pregnancies. All us women bear the responsibility to make changes to our government and our society, but we can't have two camps. If you're white, understand your privilege, know that not everyone feels the same way, and try to approach things from a worldly perspective. Knitting pussy hats to protest the election of a sexist president only emboldened the religious nutcases and incels. We don't need to see your bare breasts to know you disapprove of sexism. We need you to talk to your men. We need you to tell them that unless they put a halt to this bullshit, you'll stop voting for male candidates no matter how good a tax break they promise. This is about your kids' futures. It's about your daughters and sons. You want to punish your men? Tell them no access to birth control means no sex. Tell them women will be raped. Tell them your daughters could be raped. Tell them this is more about just your, more than about just your rights, and include more minorities in the conversation. White women, both Democrats and Republicans, have a lot of power. You say you don't, but more than half of Republican white women got Trump into office. In 2020, the majority of white Americans voted for Trump even after a recession and a botched response to a pandemic that has left more than 200,000 at that time dead. And if we simply treat this fact as obvious while black and Latinx voters are worthy of analysis, we essentially give white voters a pass for backing a racist campaign. Twice. All this talk about female empowerment was bullshit. Rush Limbaugh and their husbands poisoned their minds against strong women like Hillary Clinton. I look back and realize a lot of people, both men and women, hated her. But can't even us black women, but even us black women knew she was better than Trump. In fact, fucking 94% of us voted for her. Voted for her. If y'all can't even get together long enough to soundly reject a misogynist, how can we trust you to even care about whether or not all women have access to birth control? Don't take the blame if you aren't to blame. But no, not all white women care about reproductive rights. If they did, Trump would have never been elected, and Mitch McConnell would not still be in the Senate. White women usually have their husbands' ears. If you don't, I feel sorry for us all. We're doomed. And we as a country did it all to ourselves. Lord, Lady B, Lady B, Lady B. And that is not gimmick infringement, Ron. The gimmick is Bob, Robin, or any permutations there.
Rick has his hand up.
You brought, Lady B, you brought more than your A game. You brought your A game on steroids and a good cup of $10 coffee. Thank you, Lady B. Go, Rick, go.
I don't know why he's not talking.
Well, let's see here. Oh, I see.
Hit the switch or it got a phone call.
Yeah, it could be one or the other.
For that billable stuff.
Yeah, that billable stuff, that'll ruin your life. That or, you know, keep you going. Oh, I guess this is one of those uncomfortable moments of dead air.
After that long diatribe.
That wasn't a diatribe.
Well, whatever you want to call it. I don't know what you call it. It's a long email.
Yeah. Packed
for some reason, Rick's mic is muted.
Okay. Hey, Roger.
Yeah, I got some news for us here. Wife and I decided to... about a week ago, decided to start looking at electric vehicles. And typically, with my wife, the first dealership we went to, which was a Chevy dealership, she saw one she liked and traded in her Honda van, and we plopped down $18,000 in change and drove home in a electric Bolt EUV.
Now, that's the all-electric, right?
Yep. 100% electric. And so far, we haven't even plugged it into the charger because I think we've got 130 miles on it. Of course, we're just driving around town, shit like that. But
Do they come and do the electric work for you? I know one of the companies does.
we got incentives other than that because they were talking about putting in the charger, and I said, I've already got one. Oh, well, in that case, here, I think we have 2 or 3 years of pull up to some corporation's electrical numbers, and we get to fill up for free, or we have $500 credit or something of that sort. But when I put the solar panels on the roof a couple of years ago, knowing that we would eventually get an electric vehicle, I conned the solar company into installing one theoretically for free as part of the solar package. In other words, they gave me the bid to put the solar on and hook it all up and all the rest of it. And I said, well, what about a car charger? Oh, we can throw one of those in. And they added it in and didn't increase the cost of the solar installation. So I've already got it. And since both kids have electric vehicles, they come over to Dad's house and plug their cars in when they decide they want to. So it's been used a fair amount, but never for our car. But now it will be.
Well, I read somewhere that there were like big incentives on the Chevy Bolt. I mean, did you trade? You traded in her van, right?
Right.
Okay.
And a 2014 Honda van with 40,000 miles on it, which boosted the trade-in value by 5. So I forget what we got for it totally. But for us, after all the incentives and all the rest of it, we paid $18,000 and change with all the trade-ins, the credits, all the rest of it. But for us, out of pocket, was the $18,000. And we drove home it had 6 miles on it when we drove it home.
Well, here, let me ask the most obvious question. What color is it, Roger?
Electric blue. We had a choice between fire engine red and electric blue, and I put my foot down on the red because I said that's a cop magnet and I don't want
it. Right, that's that. Any shade of red on an automobile is by default arrest me red.
Yeah, and I didn't want that, so we went for the blue. And actually, we bought it that day and didn't bring – we signed the paperwork that we were going to buy it, and then we went to the bank to get the money, came back the next day, and the salesman said, you know, you're lucky you came in when you did because, you know, we got the truckload, and they're all sold. So, I mean, they're not staying on the lot at all. When they come in a day or 2 days – and all of them are sold.
What's the range on a single charge?
Theoretically, 265, which is going to be a little bit of a problem when we go down to Humboldt County in October because it's like 320 miles from here to there. And so we're going to have to – I'm still working on looking it up and all the rest of that. Need to find a charger someplace close to a restaurant. Somewhere including Grants Pass and all the way through to Redding. Hopefully I can find a charger close to a restaurant because if we do it closer to Crescent City, we'd be down in the 20% range and an hour should bring us up to like 40%. And that would be enough to get into Humboldt County. But the chargers I've found don't seem to be close to restaurants, which makes me think that some chain like Denny's should, corporate-wise, insist that their stores, restaurants, put in an electric charger at the restaurant to where you can pull up, plug it in, go in, eat your meal. And even if they put in one of those where you got to pay for your electricity, it would still bring people into the restaurant, and they'd sell more food.
That's eminently sensible, and I think they've taken them out since. But early on, Sheetz is a big chain out of Western PA. It's like a convenience superstore. You know, they got 15 or 20 gas pumps, and you know they're getting you in there to buy their stuff. You know, the gas is actually not a big moneymaker for them, but never mind the economics. when they first came in Beckley, they had chargers. I don't know if they've been taken out since, but they did. They had car chargers, and maybe it's great for sheets in Western PA, but not that many people have them down here. But I saw something today, and it's interesting you would bring up something about an electric car, Roger, when I'd already had an electric car moment out on the road earlier. And that is this. I saw a Tesla, and let's see, it was it had a badge on the back that said dual motor. Don't know. But I saw a Tesla today, and of course the first thought was, I'd sure love to have an electric vehicle, but you couldn't give me a Tesla, not knowing what we now know about Elon Musk, dirtbag that he is. But the thing is, Roger, it had Ontario plates. And even with a 400-mile range, I don't think you get to West Virginia on a single charge.
No, but I read a post via Facebook of somebody that did a trip from Silicon Valley, California to New York City back to Silicon Valley in an electric car. And they were talking about how they organized their trip to be able to do it and how only two or three times did they get caught sitting somewhere and reading a book. The rest of them were at a restaurant, at the motels they stayed at, or they could plug in overnight, or a scenic place they stopped. I would say, okay, something like, you know, they drove to Hawk's Nest, and while they were at Hawk's Nest enjoying the stuff, or Blackwater Falls, or whatever the hell it is, they were able to plug in while they were doing their sightseeing anyhow. And then when they got back in the car, they just hopped in and drove off and went down the road to the next place. And that was how they managed to do it. And they said they were just really happy with it, that it wasn't a real problem at all.
In Redding.
Yeah. Well, actually, if you go down to Woodland at Granzella's, the motel there, is it Granzella's? I think it's Granzella's. Before I ever moved up here, they had a couple of charging ports there in the parking lot of the motel. And if you stayed at the motel, you could plug your car in for free. So.
Hey, Roger.
Yeah.
You talked about Redding. You ever been to the Sundial Bridge?
Oh, that's the one sort of just down the hill from Central Redding, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's right off of two. It's on the way. If you're going over 299,
okay,
you get off I-5 and you take 44 into town, and then you can weave through town and then go out 299.
Yeah.
It's right there by the river.
Okay.
It's right, it's right off the freeway.
I just never been looking for them.
There's a Sheraton Redding Hotel at Sundial Bridge right there, and the car charger station's right near it.
Yeah, but I mean, I haven't been looking for electric
station
chargers until now. And if you start looking for them, you find out they're all over the place. Yeah, they're all over the place. You just have to try to find something to do while the car's charging, like eat dinner or sleep or take a walk in the park or. I mean, there's a couple of parks here in Eugene that have a charger at the park, and you drive up to the park, you can plug in and go for your walk in the park or go fishing in the fishing pond or whatever. And when you come back, you've, you know, added anywhere from 20 to 100 miles to your car.
I'm willing to bet this car that Robin saw didn't get there on its own. It was dragged behind a camper. It was used for day trips, getting away from the campers. So then another car, gas vehicle.
Well, if they were towing it behind a gas vehicle, they could be charging it while they drive down the highway.
There's that as well, exactly.
They've all got regenerative braking. The regenerative braking in this Bolt is amazing. I can go out here in town and spend the whole time driving wherever I want to go and never put my foot on the brake. Every time I want to stop, just take my foot off the accelerator, and how far up I bring it has to do with how much brake I get, and it'll bring me up and have me stop. And then when it's time to go, put your foot on the throttle and go. And I've added over 20 miles of range just by using the regenerative braking on the vehicle.
I forget where it is, but TW has told me in the in Colorado, there's a hill they use to test all these electric vehicles or vehicles for towing. And they brought that new electric E150 up there. And they all did pretty well. But on the way down, they never touched the brake on the E150. They actually had to hit the gas pedal to speed up at one point going down the hill.
Yeah. I mean, the regenerative braking on these things is amazing. I'm going to be real interested when I drive down to Humboldt. Is I have a feeling that I can push the range a lot further than what it says by using the one pedal driving, is the regenerative braking for anything I got to slow, or the when I'm going down the, when I go down any hill, I'm going to be not using the brake at all. And let it just recharge the batteries as I go down the hill.
Well, not just that, Roger. This E150 was dragging like a 90,000-pound trailer behind it. It was testing towing. So it wasn't just the truck itself. That's the impressive part.
That it could regenerative brake enough to slow the trailer down, too.
Right, they could hold everything back to the point where they actually had to speed up going downhill to maintain the speed.
Yeah. Now, Roger, does this one have
Rick's
the
ready now.
Pardon?
Rick is ready now.
Okay. Well, let me just get this question in real quick. Roger, does because Ron and Raleigh sent me the car and driver review of the 2023 Bolt EUV. Does yours have the Super Cruise function on it?
I'm still learning shit. I'm not sure what you're talking about with Super Cruise.
Well, Super Cruise.
It does not have the self-driving.
Okay, that's
in
the lane. Yeah, that's Super Cruise.
I don't have that.
I wouldn't want that.
We went more basic.
Yeah, I mean, that could have come in real handy, like when I was 17 years old and had my copy of Frampton Comes Alive out and was de-seeding. Never mind. But don't need that anymore. And I like to drive. By the way, Darlene in Connecticut points out the electric charging stations are not necessarily universal. For example, Tesla has charging stations unique to their vehicles. This presents a problem concerning cost for small towns like mine, especially when they're Republican-dominated. Terrific excuse to thwart progress.
Well, interestingly enough, when you buy a Tesla, it comes with an adapter. So Tesla can use any charging station. The problem comes that the standard that's in every other vehicle doesn't come with an adapter that you can plug into a Tesla station and then plug into your car.
So concepts that started out with cell phones have now found their way to electric vehicles.
Yep.
Oh, geez. Well, a note came in from Jude, subject line, Lady B. Once again, you not only soar in the consciousness of this living reality, you also create a space for others to viscerally experience your collected emotional thoughts. It cleanses me, Jude says, sensing a closer walk with you from a distance. Or is it? Grateful. Signed, Jude. Thank you, Jude. Thank you so much. Billable Rick, you're there now?
Yes, hi.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, we got a little side porch action here. I'm sitting here in Nixon Country, about a half a mile from the library, and Chris is sitting here. And
awesome!
Yeah. He paid a pilgrimage to the library, and
no, I did not.
Was trying to find Tricky Dick's grave and couldn't find it to piss on. So yeah. I guess he wasn't able to.
Well, I just
come on, get over here closer.
Hey,
closer to the mic here. Yeah, we're working with limited technology, folks, here.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, how are you, everybody? Yeah, I just assumed that, you could pee anywhere at the Nixon Library. I took liberties. thought it was just one big urinal.
And I have to commend Chris on his pool game. He hadn't played pool for like 10 years. We met at this sports bar in Cyprus, which is near where he's staying in wherever the hell it is, Buena Park. And he beat me the first game in 8-ball. I got the next two, and then we ended up playing against some guys who wanted to gamble. We said, no, let's just play for fun. We beat them, I think, 2 out of 3.
I think we did.
And then to top it off,
Chris. Did they scratch on the 8-ball last
time? Yeah, I think they did, yeah. And I scratched on the 8-ball, but they said it didn't count because the cue ball and 8 didn't both go in. I don't know what the deal was. Only the Q and N.
Oh, my God. I didn't realize there were local 8-ball rules for Reagan country.
And then I played 9-ball to end the night with Chris, and I got him pretty good.
Yeah, you did.
We played to 25 because it was like, shit, it was like.
He found his groove.
It was midnight. It was midnight, yeah. And we were playing on those the diamond tables. I don't know. The corners are real narrow. So your best pockets to use the side if you can, and if you don't hit it perfectly, it doesn't drop in on the corner. If you go back and forth, it just stays out, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah.
From one edge of the corner to the other, it doesn't. You have to use real shooter's touch. So, yeah, we're gonna go have dinner tonight. Chris is gonna come over to the house and hang out with Star, and he's gonna see the pregnant Bella. She's like about, I think, 4 weeks along now.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So, then she's always protected.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah. And by the way, just before we came on, we opened up a package that Judah had sent to the office. Yeah. Can you believe that? And, it contained items for me, for Chris, and then Tracy. And what did she get? What did she give you? Was it a honeycomb or what was it?
Yeah, it looks like a honeycomb of some sort.
Yeah. Oh, the story, the card's right there.
Oh, wait.
The card's on top of the wrapper, right there.
Oh, here it is.
And I was trying to feed Chris some tree nuts, but he wouldn't take them. I was hoping I could give him some cashews and some Girl Scout almonds that are in my office.
No.
Yeah. The Nixon Hospital.
Well, okay, so here's, find the card, but here's the question. If you find Ronnie's grave, you know, oil and water don't mix, and of course there have been some pretty famous oil spills off the coast of California. And so the question arises, based on the number of people who have probably pissed on his grave, is there an oil slick there from his greasy head?
I don't know. I've never been there, but maybe the grease is maybe seeping out of his grave from his hair still, which is probably still growing. I mean, who knows?
Yeah. I imagine
that's a myth. That's a myth.
I know it
Bill.
Is.
No, you're supposed to say a myth, and I say yeth.
That's too much.
So it just says, there's a little note, and it says, for you, Chris, peace, too.
Okay, and then there's more of an explanation for my gift. It's a rock. And it says, Dear Rick, this rock was discovered at the border outside El Paso where the children were detained. It is a treasure. In peace, Jude, 622. So very, very thoughtful of Jude, you know. And then she has something for Tracy, which, of course, we're not going to open because that wouldn't be proper.
Oh, absolutely.
Chris is going to deliver that to Tracy. Tracy would never, like, let Chris live that down if he were to open it on the air. Get Tracy's permission on air. No. We're not going to go there. So yeah.
That's just so sweet.
Yeah. So nice for Chris to come by. We had a blast last night. We watched the Dodgers beat the Padres 3-1 on a 2-run homer by Justin Turner. We got you had a Chicago hot dog, which was pretty good.
Yeah. Hold on. Quit it.
Yeah.
They're selling Chicago hot dogs in L.A.
Orange County.
Robin, yes. You're right to be skeptical. It had way too many pickles. First of all, it's supposed to have pickle spear, not pickle slices.
Damn.
Okay. Right. Was it at least a Vienna beef wiener?
Oh, it was Nathan's. They went Nathan's, which is very good. Nathan's, don't get me wrong, they're wonderful.
No, but for a Chicago dog, it's got to be a Vienna beef, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. Tick. Check mark,
okay.
Check minus.
There was no celery salt.
I mean, when it comes to hot dogs, I'm a common sewer.
Yeah, me too, Robin.
A common sewer? Is that what you said?
Yes, I'm a common sewer of hot dogs. Did you never watch the Three Stooges, Rick? You poor deprived boy.
A common sewer.
Yeah, I'm a common sewer.
You know, before the days of the internet and the Facebook memes and what have you with the rat with the pizza, slice of pizza, it was dragging along the slice of pizza. Everybody remember that meme?
No.
That went viral. You know what I'm talking about, Robin?
Yeah, I do.
Well, before the internet, there were rats running around underneath Wrigley Field that would be carrying around hot dogs. So.
Oh, geez.
That's old hat.
Too much.
Right.
Too much. So, what else is going on here?
Gorgeous here.
Oh, it's cool. We're suffering through what is it? 85 degree day, clear skies, a nice breeze. You know. So, is it 85?
Terrible when I came last time. It's gorgeous.
Now. It was kind of cold.
Well, it's actually comfortable in the horn in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion. I can actually stand to wear clothing. I mean, it's pretty nice.
Oh, hey, Robin, what happens when the grandbabies come in and you're doing naked radio? Is that, what's their reaction?
That's what the lock is for.
Okay.
But Robin, the lock doesn't stop them from hearing the screaming from the nipple clamps. Sorry, it doesn't.
Jesus, Jeremy, you're just determined to drive this program into the gutter, aren't you?
He succeeds every time.
You knew it was coming. No. You knew it was coming.
Hey, but don't talk about that shit. What if my date's listening?
You got a date, Robin?
Yes.
Well, congrats. What,
thank you.
Tell me about your date and what you guys are going to do.
We're going to meet for brunch over in Beckley. And, I don't know, see some local natural beauty.
That's cool.
Talk, get to know each other.
Okay.
Kind of really new to this, if you know what I mean. I figured it was time. And I'm looking forward to it.
Well, that's great. Well, baby steps, I guess, right? That's what it's about.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's so much nicer than the standard standard inquiries I get on most dating sites.
Yeah, geez. Yeah, it's a cesspool, you know.
Yeah.
And then when somebody puts on their profile that they're into trans CDs and twinks. You know that they probably aren't gonna be a match.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not viewing you as what you are. So
called also a serial killer.
Yeah, don't need anybody making a Robin suit.
And if they include their safe word in their profile, you probably want to stay away from this.
It's a jungle.
No, it is. It's past a jungle. It's an Anopheles mosquito laden swamp.
Oh, jeez.
17.
My ex-wife started to try to do some online date type stuff, and put in her profile, you know, if you're a Republican, don't even bother to get in touch, basically. And she found that all that did was attract a whole bunch of Republican type folks.
Yeah, that's been exactly
to convert her.
Yeah, that's been exactly my experience. I put don't send, and you know, you use the eggplant emoji in place of, you know, don't send eggplant pics, and Now, who chortled like that? Shame on you.
That was Chris. That was.
Yeah. Okay. It had to. It would have had to have been. And so, the number of eggplant picks have gone up exponentially.
Hmm.
So block, 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 report, block and report, block and report, block and report. I didn't know.
Who do you report to? Who reviews the reports?
Yeah, somebody at the website.
Okay.
And you know, Randy Radar reminded me a little bit ago that back during the bad old days of Air America, that they used to hustle something called DemocraticMatch.com.
I remember that. Yeah.
Can you imagine how useless that would be in a place like West Virginia or Alabama or Mississippi? Hi.
Yeah.
You're the other one? Yeah, I'm the other one.
Imagine Utah?
Oh, geez. That'd be bad, too.
Wouldn't work out very well.
Oh, yeah. But Randy Radar raised an interesting point a little bit ago. And it's worth a discussion. I had it a minute ago. Where'd it go? Oh, yeah. Russia is making gobs of money out of supplying European pipelines with Russian oil. So remind me again why the Ukraine war is still going on. Well, that's easy.
Yeah.
Because Ukraine is just the Slavic spelling of Iraq.
Hmm.
And just as we thought that Iraq had a lot of our oil under their sand, Russia is pretty sure that Ukraine has a lot of their gas under Ukrainian sunflower fields. And so it's still a resource war. Yeah, they're making gobs of money, but they want to make gobs more. Hey, stand by. I'm smelling the smoker. It's a lovely hickory smell, but I got to run and check it. The temperature may have gone up. I'll talk amongst yourselves. Stand by.
Well, I picked up on an article the other day that Russia is selling oil to Egypt, which wasn't part of the embargo thing. Mm-hmm. And then Egypt is turning around and selling that oil to Saudi Arabia.
Oh, geez.
What? Apparently, Saudi oil is kind of a heavy crude, and Russian oil is a light crude.
Uh-huh.
So Saudi Arabia is selling their bunker oil type stuff to whoever wants to buy it, and then importing the sweet crude from Russia via Egypt to refine into gasoline for their vehicles. And so Egypt gets to make money, Russia gets to make money, and everybody's happy and back in the loop again.
Except for the people in Mariupol and Sevastopol or whatever that's called.
The people that just got killed, slaughtered in the shopping mall.
I think it's called Severodonetsk or something. That's the one that's getting flattened now. That's the Mariupol part two.
Yeah, that shopping center missile attack was a clear war crime.
Yeah. Well,
unless, of course, it was just collateral damage and the missile just went off target.
Well, right. That's probably not likely.
China is giving everything Russia needs to do.
Yeah. Yeah, this war is going to... Yeah, that war is going to go on a long time. Although,
really, it's the West.
Although I understand the precision guided munitions are really helping Ukraine, help them. You know, they're outnumbered, but at least they're using that strategically to knock out all these Russian tanks and troop carriers and shit.
Well.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And so Ukraine took back the island that the people said fuck you early in the war.
Snake Island.
Yeah, there's no longer any Russians on it. It's back totally in Ukrainian hands.
That's good.
To mention we've sank a lot of Russian ships via proxy to the Ukraine.
Yeah,
a lot of ships. Yeah, and in the Black Sea or what?
Yep, in the Black Sea. Most of those ships that got hit are all our GPS forwarders. Don't think they're not.
Okay. What's going on? Is there still a grain embargo of Ukrainian grain that can't get out of the Black Sea?
Can't get out of Ukraine through.
Yeah, through the Black Sea. Yeah, yeah.
I heard it was
Russian.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah.
And that means a lot of stuff.
Well, sink some of those ships and get rid of the mines that the Russians have put in the Black Sea and get that grain out, you know, because people are starving in Africa because of that embargo.
Well, Ukrainian farmers are also sabotaging the harvesting equipment. Because if they harvest it and try to ship it, they can't get it out of the country. But right. Apparently 30, 40 years ago, Russia did a number on Ukraine, and that's one of the reasons Ukraine is so into the fight right now. But they're destroying the harvesting equipment because I'm sure they're destroying it to where they could repair it if they wanted to, because they know what they did to it. But to prevent the Russia from coming in right at harvest time and harvesting the grain and sucking it out through the east and stealing all the grain, corn, grain, sunflower seeds, all the rest of it. And so the Ukrainians are just saying, we can't harvest it and sell it. And we damn sure don't want the Russians to get it. So the quickest way is to disable the harvesting equipment so Russia can't steal it.
So nobody's going to get it then, basically. Nobody's going to get the harvest.
Right.
And it's going to rot. It's going to rot in the fields.
Well, at least that's where it belongs, and it'll
fertilize the soil.
Yeah. Fallow, isn't that what you call it? You're a farmer, Roger.
Well, that's if you don't plant it at all.
They'll just let it go to seed in the field. It's a grass, you know. If you can't turn enough stock in to eat it, the seeds will fall off and grow again next year.
Right.
And that's the best outcome if Ukraine can't get anything out of it.
Yeah.
Well, but I mean, who's going to feed the people in the southern hemisphere?
American farmers will do it. The Supreme Court will issue a ruling requiring the American farmers to supply grain to the third world. Yeah, right.
Fatwa.
Why not? They've already issued a bunch of fatwas, you know. Jeez.
American fatwa.
We're all Catholics now. I thought I was a recovering Catholic until I, you know, read those decisions or heard about them anyway. I don't think I need to read them. I know they're full of shit anyway. They're quoting Thomas in his concurrence is quoting Dred Scott for the proposition that you shouldn't have substantive due process, that it's an illegitimate doctrine. He's like quoting with approval from Judge Taney, who wrote that damned opinion,
like,
you know.
The worst American.
Alito started whispering to overturn abortion.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Matthew Hill. Matthew Hill.
Megan.
And the other one that's really fucked up was the EPA ruling.
Oh, geez. Yeah. Well, there's not going to be an environment to protect at that rate. The agency will become obsolete.
Well, what I think is kind of interesting is the whole reason for the EPA originally was that the moneyed interest didn't want to have 50 different state regulations and have to fight in each state, which would be 50 fights or 40 fights or 25 fights, whatever. So they decided that, and got Nixon to go along with it, that if there were federal regulations, the moneyed interest felt they would have more control because they'd only have one fight. So they got the feds to come in and do it. Well, the feds started using the Environmental Protection Agency to truly protect the environment. And now they're saying, fuck it, we want to go back to the individual states.
Oh, maybe that's what will happen. Maybe, progressive states like California, their EPA will basically step into the void created by the inability of the EPA nationally to regulate things like, greenhouse gas emissions. And maybe the state of California EPA will propose rules that would do that. And maybe New York and, I mean, the blue states, you know?
Yeah, but guys, air doesn't know any state boundaries, or water doesn't know any state boundaries.
No, of course not.
So
air doesn't honor state boundaries.
Anything that's manufactured here on the West Coast needs to meet a high standard, right?
Yeah.
And if anybody else wants to buy it, then, they're we're going to make our stuff here to be standard, right? And then hopefully people here on the West Coast are not going to buy any garbage that doesn't meet standards from Alabama or Mississippi or Tennessee.
Right. Well, there's plenty of Walmart shoppers on the West Coast here, Chris, unfortunately.
No, that's all Chinese made.
I know. Right? Yeah.
I mean, all that shit doesn't meet standards.
Jeez. Right? Yeah.
Well, the case revolved around the Environmental Protection Agency putting CO2 restrictions on coal-fired power plants.
Right.
So it was an atmospheric number.
And beyond that, Roger.
Well, guess what? CO2 doesn't know any fucking state boundaries.
No, it doesn't. But here's where they hung their hat. It was the fact that the EPA was willing to go on a plant by plant basis. And that was a good idea too far for the gang of miscreants. But the fact of the matter is, the reason they federalized it is because of exactly what you just said. You know, air moves. I mean, if you consider the acid rain debate of the 70s, you know, particulates from coal-fired power plants in the southeastern United States were destroying forests in New England. Or, you know, power plants in the Midwest, you know, depending on the prevailing winds. It's federal in nature.
But what they hung their hat on this one is because Congress delegated to the EPA to determine the science, the Supreme Court has decided that the EPA can't do it, that Congress needs to tell the EPA, and I'm pulling some things here, that, okay, listen, you have something, and you can put out 1% and it won't be harmful. And so Congress said, oh, yeah, EPA, you figure out what the percent is. What the Supreme Court said is, no, the EPA can't figure it out. Congress now has to figure out that 1% is allowable. So now we need PhD scientists in Congress to make the rules. I'm sure Lauren Bobbitt is going to find a Trump university that'll give her a PhD so she can meet the requirements.
But Roger, it's not even that, because you got to remember back during the MAGA years, they proposed rulemaking in the EPA that would make sure that scientists couldn't do sciencey things, and they had to consult with, you know, the industry accounting department first. So it becomes a self-perpetuating problem, and it's circular in nature. These guys, I mean, for God's sakes, these guys knew what they were going to do. I need to break in just for a second here to point out that, we knocked out that first $100 of Bruce's Memorial Challenge and then stalled. And if there's, you know, if there's anybody out there that can help meet that other $200 worth, that would be fan-freaking-tastic, because that would at least get us to only being $100 in the hole for today, and we'd be finished with last June a day late. So anybody that wants to do that, thank you so much in advance. And I will be going and checking the mailbox,
Robin,
in Beckley.
Robin? Morning.
Yes, yes, Billable.
Robin?
Yes.
Are you there?
Right here.
Can you hear me, Robin?
I do.
Hey. Chris and I are each going to we're going to do a $15 side porch challenge, piss on Nixon's grave challenge. So
easy, tricky, dicky.
Yeah. So it's $15 from each of us, and then we'll double it if it's matched. Okay.
That would be okay. So that would, let's see. So 15-30, that's 60, and then so that would knock out $90 of Bruce's challenge and get us down to only $110 to go. And Ralph's, who is one of the principal sponsors of Bruce's challenge, says, come on, people, make me pay. No, really, make Ralph's pay. Make Ralph's pay, please. Oh, and I wanted to mention
bad on the Nixon freeway getting up here a couple of weeks ago. Yeah, I went 101 miles an hour in my car.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I had my new Mercedes.
Oh, my God.
It didn't feel very fast. there was still like speed left.
Wait, yeah. Did you just say new Mercedes?
Yeah, it's a G. Yeah, it's a SUV. Yeah, it's the C class. What is it? C3.
What's that stand for? Like that. Speeding up the valley.
SUV. There you go. It's a GLC. GLC.
Yeah.
It's a mid-sized SUV.
No, I'm sure that is just the lap of luxury and comfort. But it is, remember, it is. We've had talks in the past, Billable, about your driving skills, hon. I mean, never mind. I'll leave it be.
I'm pretty good. He wasn't too far for it. The only crash I had was not my fault, Robin, because idiot changed four lanes in front of me, and they were going eastbound or westbound on the 405 freeway going north. So there you go. Or south it was, I guess.
Bill?
Yeah.
Bill, I'm not impressed.
That was an interesting program.
Done 100.
Should I go to the emergency room or not? Okay, you guys made the right call. You all, the community.
I've done 100. I've done 110 in a Camry station wagon. I'm not impressed by your 101. And that was on Green Mountain Interstates.
Oh, don't make that. Let's not get into one of these measuring contests because I don't have one to measure anymore.
Not choppy.
Done 120 miles an hour on I-79 in a Porsche 911, so quit it. There, okay? Hell, I've been in a car doing 120 miles an hour on I-79 in West Virginia as a passenger, and it was just a souped-up Dodge Diplomat, state police cruiser.
Oh, okay.
And by the way, I was an invited guest, not somebody in the back seat with cups on, so there's that.
I was going to ask you, you're driving riding in the front seat or the back seat?
No, I was riding in the front seat. I was working with a trooper on a murder case. And said, you ever ridden in a cop cruiser doing everything at Camden? No, I can't. Watch this. I love doing this. Didn't do the siren, but he flipped the lights on, just stomped it, and was like, shit, those police interceptors are something, ain't they? V8 and a Dodge Diplomat. Really? Yeah.
Can they go as fast as Tesla?
As what? They can catch.
Can they go as fast as Teslas? Those are pretty fast.
Well, this was pre all that. This was like 1992, and those things were, you know, there's not a lot of Ferraris or Lamborghinis in West Virginia. That souped up Dodge Diplomat could catch just about anything on the road. Supervisor car.
That's cool.
Let me see. I got a thank you to put in here. Who's this? Chris, you just landed. Awesome. Thank you very kindly. So come on, y'all. That challenge is out there. We got a. Oh, oddly enough, I was in a convenience store or somewhere the other day, and the music was playing Jerry Reed doing oddly enough Eastbound and Down. And that song's just burned into my brain, so I was just sort of, you know, two-stepping out, and we got a long way to... Oh, again with the singing. Stop it. A long way to go and a short time to get there. We're eastbound. Just watch old Bandit run. Hey. And, let me see. California story. Maybe y'all heard about this. The Proud Boys are apparently not particularly cowed by having been, indicted and shit. And they're, you know, noted for their involvement in, the January 6th insurrection. The story comes out of, Woodland, California. Where a bar was going to have a drag queen happy hour event. But they canceled it because the Proud Boys showed up and the cops stood around. And there's actual audio of a moment because somebody in there in the bar did not cotton to having a bunch of goddamn Proud Boys outside, and apparently they will run away. The bar was called the Mojo in Woodland, California. And somebody in the bar came out with some pepper spray. You know, the Proud Boys are known for using bear spray on other people. Got a dose of their own medicine.
Close the door. I'm the king of you. I'm the king of you.
Yeah, how many kids in there? How many kids in there? Groomers! And somebody came out and hosed down the fucking Proud Boys with some pepper spray, and they took wings to heal, as I think W once said, and oddly enough, so did the police, who were otherwise just standing around and not doing shit. No reports of any arrests of any of these terrorist Proud Boys yet. And the Woodland police wouldn't identify them either, but apparently, it was Proud Boys. And so they had to cancel their drag queen happy hour because the Nazis attacked the event. Benign, innocuous, no big damn deal. Oh, and just a little announcement. I've been talking about this for a while now, but the brilliant documentary film, Devil Put the Coal in the Ground, has been named an official selection, and I know we've got folks out that way. I told my daughter about it, as a matter of fact. AFMX, the Albuquerque Film and Music Experience, has chosen Devil Put the Coal in the Ground as an official selection of its festival this year. So if you're in the Albuquerque area, check out AFMX and see when it's going to be showing, because you will not see a more profound documentary this year, period, I promise. It is astonishing. Oh, and Ron and Raleigh, another car automobile aficionado, of course. There it is, the 1982 to 1989 Dodge Diplomat police cruiser. And it was a thing. It would get going. And the one I was in... had the 360 V8 police engine, a 360 5.9 liter V8. That 5.9 liter V8 was what was in my big rusty red pickup truck once upon a time. That was a hood full of engine, and it would get out of its own way. Ah, memories. Okay, so I didn't mean to impose a conversational lapse.
Well, I got an old CHP story.
Yeah?
I used to work at this Chevron gas station right out of high school, and we serviced all the CHP cars. So when they were done servicing, we'd have to call this guy, and he'd say, well, I'll be at the deal. The CHP office was just about a mile away from our gas station, so we got to drive the CHP cars. I think they had 440s in them back then.
Oh, dear God. Yeah, that 440 Magnum.
This was in 1969-70 era.
Yeah, the Mopar 440 Magnum.
Mm-hmm.
That four barrel carb on top of that engine would put you back in, press you back into the seats like a rocket launch.
Mm-hmm. It was fun just driving him for that 1 mile.
I can imagine.
The guy at the CHP station, he'd give you a ride back to the gas station.
Oh, I have a Kirsten Cinema sighting. Y'all will love this. Now, this is a woman who refused to bust the filibuster in order to protect women's reproductive rights, right? Clear on that?
Right, yeah.
Well, yesterday, Joe Biden said he wanted the Senate to support a filibuster carve-out to codify the right to an abortion. He said, the most important thing we have to change, I believe we have to codify Roe versus Wade in the law, and the way to do that is to make sure the Congress votes to do that, and if the filibuster gets in the way, it's like voting rights. It should be that we provide an exception to this, requiring an exception to the filibuster for this action to deal with the Supreme Court decision. Well, curtsy and Kyrsten Sinema, along with her her trusty young ward, Joe of the Manchin Born, jumped right out there and started blathering about how you can't have democracy without the filibuster. Kyrsten Sinema said, throughout my time in Congress, I've always supported women's access to health care, and I'll continue working with anyone to protect women's ability to make decisions about their futures. I've repeatedly voted in favor of protecting a woman's right to choose, and I'm a co-sponsor of the Women's Health Protection Act. And then she refused to do a damn thing about it. And this is what turns people off, y'all. This is what made, because then she turned around and sent out a fundraising email saying, oh, send me $6 so I can protect a woman's right to choose. She's going to get primaried in 24. And I hope, I believe his name's Ruben Gallego, I hope he bounces her.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to try and primary.
But okay. Lord God. I mean, that's some brass, isn't it? That's some nerve. Sit there and take and actively refuse to protect a woman's right to choose and then send out a fundraising email saying, I always protect a woman's right to choose. I mean, does anybody fall for that?
There you go.
Is anybody going to donate a nickel knowing what she's done? I mean, what is this niche Democratic demographic that donates money to Kyrsten Sinema when she talks out of both sides of her mouth? I'm trying to figure that out.
Both of them are good.
Well, I'm a little questioning on AOC right now, coming out and saying that there are some Supreme Court justices that need to be impeached. Why the hell hasn't she filed the impeachment resolution?
Been asking that all week long, Roger.
Nancy sends it to a committee. The committee works on it. It comes back to the floor and send the son of a bitch to the Senate and let all those Republicans vote the way they're going to vote. Yes, it won't pass. They won't get convicted in the Senate, but the goddamn Republican senators will have again pointed out that they are perfectly happy with a person being perjured or committing perjury, and that's okay and fine for the Justice Department, for the court system, Supreme Court, to have people who have committed perjury, and that would allow the House to present the case that they actually committed perjury. So don't talk about it. Do it. I'm sorry if the fucker will fail, but put it out there and do it.
Precisely. This is Shakespeare stuff. Stand not upon the order of your going, but go at once. Stop talking. Start doing.
Absolutely. They all lied under a... So, every single one of them.
So did balls and strikes lie under oath, folks?
Yes.
Well, I mean, balls and strikes.
He's a liar.
That's true. That's
all of them lied under oath. We can impeach them all. Pile up the asterisks.
Well, that's rather subjective, though, because I see all sorts of balls that are called strikes and strikes that are called balls that should have been otherwise, I think. That's what I think.
Citizens United was not balls and strikes.
No.
Not by a long shot.
No.
Not even close. Not even close.
Yeah.
That was a...
No, that, yeah. You're right, Christopher. That was not the Balls and Strikes Court. That was the, Billy the Junkie court.
Yeah.
Okay. And where is the thing on this idea? Well, since abortion, we're sending it back to the states because the states need to take care of it. And yet, the is it North Carolina redistricting?
Yeah, yeah. That,
the,
yeah,
the Supreme Court has agreed to take next year.
Yeah, that talked about that in the first hour.
The state is doing it. So let the state do it. It was the state court that threw it out.
It was the state Supreme Court, Roger.
Yeah, correct. That threw out the gerrymandered one. So now why did they put a stay forcing the people of North Carolina to do it, vote in the gerrymandered one that the state Supreme Court threw out to interfere with the state in how they're choosing the fucking electors? Jesus. The hypocrisy exactly. Just pissed me off.
Well, and I laid out the timeline in the first hour, Roger. This thing will
I was pressure washing my deck.
This thing will be argued in the October term, which means it'll be ripe for decision by about this time, like say, last day of June of 2023, just in time to give just enough time for all the maggot legislatures to do their maggot business. And the theory that it's based on is routinely referred to as things like cockamamie by anybody, right-wing and left-wing legal scholars alike.
Stop things from becoming Supreme Court precedent these days. Well, it has to be cockamamie.
Well, history needs to be told. History needs to tell the tale many, many years from now. This era of politics in America needs to be looked at just like the steroid era of baseball. Asterisks all over the place and a whole bunch of folks with records in the record book that aren't in the Hall of Fame. You know what I mean? This needs to be looked at as one of the worst periods in American's history is politics. And that's why we need asterisks all over these names. They have to be there.
And I guess getting impeached is a good
start. That's the asterisk. Yes, they all need them. Every one of them needs an asterisk by their name.
Yeah, and in point of fact, Roger, when you were talking about the idea of impeaching these perjurers, the fact of the matter is Nancy Pelosi doesn't actually enter into the calculus. The bill gets filed, the parliamentarian looks at it and boots it over. The only way it changes, she would boot it over to the House Committee on the Judiciary unless there was a special committee on impeachment that was impaneled. So
Nancy Pelosi doesn't have as much power on what comes up to the floor of the House as does the leader of the Senate?
Well, the way it works is the bill gets filed and the parliamentarian determines which committee it goes to. And then it either dies in committee or you have hearings. I don't think you just let this die in committee, especially if, say, I don't know, 50 women sign on to it. And who knows, maybe some guys.
Well, I'll tell you one guy that would sign on to it, and that's Jared Huffman. I'm sure he would. When I was living in California, he was my congressperson. Good guy. And friendly guy, too. A nice guy to talk to. Interesting chats. I think Nancy would have a little bit to do with it, because if she got behind it, it would definitely go into committee. They would have hearings and come to the floor. She may not legislatively, parliamentarian-wise, have the power, but Nancy's got power. If she says,
"Oh, sure, yeah," I mean, she can do the do the behind the scenes stuff. But and the only, I mean, I wonder, I just wonder, why do we talk about it instead of doing it? And maybe it's like, well, Jack in Shreveport just pointed out in the chat, I think filing an impeachment now would give maggot media a frenzy that would take away from the January 6th focus. I think that's a possibility. But then again, at some point in time, you have to walk and chew gum, even if you're not good at it. Does that make sense?
But the January 6th focus is on vacation until the middle of July.
Yeah, but this would take a hell of a lot longer than that. Another with time winding down, damn, we need to we do need to meet Chris and Billable's challenges, please. That's a total of $30. It's three people with $10. But this idea of reproductive care facilities on federal installations, it got shot down supposedly as being fraught with problems, and it kind of gets made fun of in turn. Yeah, okay, great, we're going to put an abortion clinic in the middle of the Great Smoky Mountains National Park, or, you know, put one here in, you know, almost level west by coal in the New River Gorge National Park. But that's not what we're really talking about. What we're talking about is reproductive care facilities in VA hospitals, reproductive care facilities on the grounds of military installations. Because see, that's the thing: there are military and VA facilities in every maggot state that so thoroughly despises women. The soon to not be called Fort Hood anymore in Texas could have a reproductive care center in it, and you know what? The anti-abortion protesters couldn't get anywhere near it unless they decided to let them near it. I guess it would with military readiness a little bit.
There was an article the other day that I read that military facilities in states that ban abortions will continue regular care. And somebody was flapping about it. And I pointed out that there are things that happen outside of a military base and inside of a military base. All along the West Coast, it is legal to smoke marijuana recreationally. However, if you go on to a military base and decide to smoke a joint, you could be in serious trouble. It's the same goddamn thing. The rules on federal property are different than the rules in the states.
Yeah, they are.
Hell, they could put an abortion clinic in Yellowstone National Park. I'm not recommending they do it. But
well, a woman was gored by a bison there in the last few days. Sorry,
she was too close to the goddamn bison, and it's her fault. I'm sorry, I don't have wild animal.
You know, whether it's a military installation or whether it is a VA hospital, that's all within the administrative power of the President of the United States via.
I'm not sure a VA hospital does abortion care. How did they get around the Hyde Amendment?
A good point there.
But that's federal funding of them. If you have to go there and pay for it yourself, you're not funding it. And so, you know, one of the people who came back and pressed this on President Biden was New York Governor Kathy Hochul. She said, "What am I talking about? Veterans hospitals, military bases, and other places where the federal government controls the jurisdiction in some of the states that are hostile to women's rights and make sure that those services can be available to other women." And Governor Lujan Grisham...
Other women is the kicker.
Yeah, Governor Lujan Grisham of New Mexico agreed wholeheartedly. She also suggested that Indian health service clinics in sovereign tribal nations could be another way for... the government women to have access to reproductive care in Confederate and Stan and maggot states, you know, states that despise women.
Hey, Robin, quick question. Do you know of any legislation, either at the state or federal level, if there's a bill being crafted to make it illegal for gay conversion therapy and, like, and basically anybody who performs those acts?
Well, yeah, I think it is. I mean, conversion therapy is illegal in some states. They've moved toward that, but it needs to be illegal on a national basis.
It should be exactly the same sentence, if not different sentences, than portions in the text.
Hey, Rick, can you lower your hand, please?
Yeah, lower your hand.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Hey, I was going to comment on something. It seems to me ironic that you can basically bring a gun into a national park, but you can't smoke a joint in a national park.
Yeah.
Thanks, Obama.
Well, you want to make it even funnier.
Cowbell.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You're right. Well, it gets even more ironic. You can tote a weapon into a national park, but you can't crack a beer.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Got a little question on that one.
What, Roger? On the beer?
I got a little bit of a question on that one. But it is true, you can pack a loaded gun in a national park thanks to Obama. When I was working as a packer in Kings Canyon, and I had a mule jump off the trail, and anyway, long story short, it was a ranger was surprised that we as packers were not carrying a weapon in the park in the event we had to put down an animal, a pack animal that we had. And I looked at him when he was asking, well, you don't have a pistol with you? And I went, no, it's not legal. He says, well, shit, I thought all you folks carried a pistol. So, little offshoot there. But yeah, yes, you can now pack a weapon in a national park, but you can't smoke a joint in a national park.
But you can't fire the gun, right? You can't fire the gun in a national park.
And why the
you're
hell
not? Well, in my experience, which goes back into the 70s, you weren't even supposed to possess it.
That's what you give the gun to the bear?
Well, you know, that's what it says right there in your Second Amendment there, Christopher, that the right to keep an armed bear shall not be infringed.
Yeah, okay. Just doing as I'm told.
There you go.
Okay, so I got to send out some thank yous, and I'm really happy to be able to send them out. Christopher, Billable, Roger answered your challenge, both of you.
All right.
Both yins. Yeah. I'm going to get all, since I'm going to Pittsburgh in August, I got to start working on my Pittsburghese. Hi, Rico. Yins. Yins's challenge got met. Women Standing jumped in as well. So that takes us down to $100 to go this evening. Thank you so kindly to Trevor. Trevor jumped in. We're down to $80 to go this evening. Brendan jumped in. We're down to $70 to go to meet Bruce's Memorial Challenge, $70, and that'll leave us only in the hole by $100 come more in Monday. So we'd have a $400 fundraiser. And honestly, I don't know if there's going to be a program Monday. It's the 4th. I'm not celebrating.
Just take the day off. Day of mourning, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Make a real Chicago-style hot dog for you and the family.
Hey, there you go.
God, I'd love to, but I can't get the poppy seed buns. I can't get the Vienna beef wieners. I can't get that arsenical green relish. Sport peppers? Oh, hell no.
What the hell can you get?
Really?
Oh, geez. Man.
Well, you're going to have to grow those.
And we're supposed to come to the Hornet next year. And
yeah, really. What the...
A Chicago hot dog? Come on, Rob.
Hey, I didn't say nothing about no Chicago hot dogs at Horn Inn 2. Now, damn it, don't you be imposing preconditions that I can't meet. Actually, I looked it up one time on Amazon. They've got a Chicago hot dog kit, and it's all the right stuff. I mean, it's Chicago-branded sport peppers and the mustard and the Vienna beef wieners and the poppy seed. It's all, and I think, you know, enough for like a dozen hot dogs was like $75.
Is there a particular type of mustard, yellow mustard? It has to be.
I think it was a spicy brown mustard.
For how many hot dogs did it make?
I think it did a dozen, if I recall correctly, because I looked at it long and hard. This was, oh, okay, I don't do that. I don't look at anything long and hard anymore. Never mind. Sorry. Sorry. That was just to
give
get
yourself a cup.
Thank you. I did that for Jeremy.
You said I don't look at things long and hard anymore.
But I gave serious consideration. That was at the same time that I was looking at, you know, the $100 shipment of Blue Bell ice cream, homemade vanilla, and no, that wasn't going to happen either. I'd be in so much trouble around here if I did that. I think Amazon still has it. They've got a genuine Chicago hot dog kit, and it makes like a dozen hot dogs.
Well, maybe Christopher can bring that with him to the front end.
There you go.
Hey, you bring the hot dog makings, and we'll have Chicago dogs. I know New Yorkers get really, really militant about their dirty water dogs, and they're special, you know, spicy mustard and sauerkraut, and you're done. You don't need anything else on a dirty water dog.
It's not made crap.
And you know, I still wax poetic about an authentic hot dog from Dick Howell's Pit Barbecue on the corner of Sherrod Avenue and Pine Street in Florence, Alabama, the only place you can get them. And, various, and we, you know, we don't call chili in West Virginia. We call it sauce. But it's freaking chili. It's just not very chili. And we do chili and slaw on our hot dogs. And it ain't bad. You know, maybe some chopped up onion. But to my mind, the classic eponymous, I mean, just miles out ahead of every, is a Chicago dog. It just is. Although I think there's some version that they do in the Southwest that's like bacon and tomato and onion and avocado and salsa or something. Not bad. But anyway, time to get out of here. Thanks for a rousing conversation, everybody. Welcome to July. May it be better than June. Well, the Supreme Court's not in session, so we can't take a breather either. Don't give up. Never give up. Never surrender. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to our PayPal and Patreon subscribers. Dadgummit, I knew I forgot something yesterday. I will do the thank you for the Patreon subscribers either Monday or Tuesday. Thank you. But thank you to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatsoever manner you may choose. Thank you, non-billable Rick. We have $20 to go on. We have $20 to go on Bruce's Memorial Challenge. Thank you, non-billable Rick. Thank you. And maybe that other 20 will wander in. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's another classic. Jude reminds me. Remember our stop at that legendary drive-in restaurant in Atlanta on our way to you dropping Chris from Germany and yours truly off at the airport? Those hot dogs. Yes, 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 yes. Because a hot dog from the Varsity on North Avenue in Atlanta is, well, just going to get it is an experience unto itself. Oh, those onion rings. And yeah, the hot dogs are pretty monumental. With a jumbo FO. FO stands for frosted orange, y'all, who aren't Atlanta. That's true, too. Lee in New York says, Charlie Brown observed that a hot dog tastes better with a baseball game in front of it. That's true as well. The hot dogs at Watt Powell Park, which has long since been replaced by a cancer center down in Charleston, where we would go and, oh, I saw such baseball there as a little kid. I love those hot dogs. Oh, they were so good. Because they would rehydrate the little dehydrated chopped onions, and those things, for some reason or another, just have a different flavor. But anyway, thanks to all of you who do participate in the program. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks in the old holler tree around the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable this evening to for his moderating talents. Wow. Oh, no, I can't do that, Shorty. I don't have any way of doing that. But thank you just the same. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way, I presume, 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. Best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is HeadOn.live. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and now a proud union shop. Time's winding down on the House of Representatives, but if you would be so kind, please just jot down a note. Do this on like Tuesday. Jot down a note. Call my member of the House. Ask them to co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act. Takes almost no time at all. It's so easy, and it may be one of the most profound acts that you do, because it means the world to the future of Appalachia. Please stay safe. Get your booster. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, wear your mask when you're in crowded areas. Maintain your social distance, 15 to 20 feet, if you possibly can. And of course, if some proud boy comes toward you, how many children are in there, you groomers? Avoid that Nazi like the plague, because he is. Oh, and one last thing. Brother Deacon Asa says, feel free to rake me through the muck for this, but those varsity dogs didn't speak to me. Onion rings were fine, though, and yes, it was quite the experience. You just ordered it wrong. You got to order it right, and you got to use the right lingo, and then they'll know you're serious, and they'll bring you a really good one. I like them. But then again, you know, maybe I don't know about the classic hot dogs from the wilds of far British Columbia. It could be a thing. Maybe it's got some like smoked salmon on it or something. But always, Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody, as great as you possibly can. Later.